I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. It's the Zone Sports Network. It's a Monday after the divisional playoffs. We willed it so.
Are you happy now?
Yes.
Are you happy that, like,
Wild
there's finally some good football
sucked.
Out there?
Wild card weekend sucked.
I don't think it's ever been better than yesterday.
The divisional
ever.
Playoff that you've ever seen. Here's why
I think
I
it's
know.
The best weekend of football in the NFL period
Here's the
in its whole entire
test.
History.
Here's the litmus test. I'm getting multiple texts from Scott Mitchell, who generally, to get Scott going about a football game, it's like a guy, you know, once you've played in the league, like, I get all excited about all sorts of stuff. You kind of go, eh. And you'll, like, I'll text about a game sometimes, and you'll go, dude, switch on over to Netflix. They're streaming Longmire again. You know, and I'll be like, dude.
Wait, they are?
Let's start things off there because we're going to talk about this divisional round, how amazing it was. Hanson Scotty jumped a little bit into the overtime discussion, which, of course, everybody was jumping into over the weekend, because as long as you're going to have a team lose at the end of overtime, I don't care what the rules are, people are going to argue about the rules of overtime, which is, of course, how you're going to end a game. Somebody's going to lose. That's where we're starting the show off, as we always do, right here with The Cut, right here on the program. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cut brought to you by Sound Sleep Medical. Do you snore at night? Are you using a CPAP machine to treat sleep apnea? Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. Visit their website, soundsleepmedical.com. Scott, you said the best weekend in NFL history? What?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
But you hate kickers, and they're the ones who
game. No, but it wasn't them. It was that you love it when all of these games are, like, battled out to the bitter end. To the bitter end. And yesterday's games were just like that. I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's insane what happened yesterday. There's nothing that even comes close to it. But I want to point something out right when we start here, and I want you to think about this for just a minute because it's pretty powerful. The NFL is it's a quarterback league today, okay? And that's evident. It's just evident by the weekend, okay, the whole weekend. But just take yesterday. And I want you to think about the four quarterbacks that played yesterday. Tom Brady.
He's fine.
Was like.
He's okay.
You have Matthew Stafford. And you go, well,
he's getting better. He's improving.
Matthew Stafford, and I've said this for years, this guy throws the ball as good as anybody, maybe ever.
Bad situation in Detroit, obviously.
But okay, so he's there. And he's the worst of the four, right? I mean, maybe. And then you have Patrick Mahomes, who will probably end up being like Tom Brady by the time it's all over. And then you have Josh Allen, who probably talent-wise...
We were definitely set to be like, you be the new guy now. You be the new NFL guy.
And I think he's ready for that. Clearly he was. I mean, after this game. So those are the four quarterbacks. And the reality is, those four guys will probably end up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's
so on a Sunday, one Sunday, you have four future Hall of Fame quarterbacks all playing and playing at an insane level. Like, you want to know?
And the day before, you almost had that. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo put him in the Hall of Fame, but you did have Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow. He could go.
We'll talk about them later.
Sure, I'm just talking about those games.
I'm just talking about
those Sunday games
because the quarterbacks in the NFL today, man, you have to love this. Like, if you love football, you have to love what's going on in the NFL right now because there's a lot of young, really, really good quarterbacks. And quite frankly, there's some old ones that are still really good. And maybe there's some middle-aged ones, you know, in NFL
Well,
years.
You know what's funny is, as you mentioned that, if you were going to talk about ranking those quarterbacks, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, I mean, Mahomes edged him out, right? But that was a push. I mean, that one felt like it was just both of the guys broke a 54-year Bart Starr quarterback rating record in the NFL playoff history. But they both did it in the same game. So you're welcome.
Patrick Mahomes had 170 yards throwing after the two-minute drill.
That's amazing. After the two-minute warning.
During the two-minute
drill.
Right. Yeah, like our show.
So you're doing the mind blown thing. I love that your mind got blown because
let me ask you this, okay? All right, you want me to rank these guys?
Because Tom Brady for me is actually the worst of those four guys right now.
Well, he's certainly the shortest shelf life. I mean, we can get into this today. We're going to get into this.
That's
today.
What we're doing right now.
I know, but we'll get into Tom Brady and where he is.
Because, yeah, sure.
Because. Here's what just impressed the heck out of me. And it was one play. It was really two plays. And it wasn't Tom Brady, wasn't Patrick Mahomes, and it wasn't Josh Allen. It was Matthew Stafford.
Which play?
And I'll tell you, it was the very last drive.
Was it that backflip throw?
The last drive, and he had two throws. Okay? But it's two throws after an utter complete meltdown by the Rams.
Yep.
Like they were like
four fumbles.
We don't think we're going to we're finding every possible way to lose this
game.
We're
not supposed to be here. We'll show you right now why.
And this is Matthew Stafford who couldn't win a playoff game.
Yeah.
Could throw the heck out of the football but just could never win. Could never win. And he's on the road and he's playing the defending Super Bowl champions with Tom Brady. And Tom Brady's all the mystique, the magic, everyone in the stadium goes, man, you can't ever bet against Tom Brady. Here it comes again. Here's another
27-3 and it was the third quarter.
There's 42 seconds left in the game, Alex.
We're dying.
And it's almost like the same game with Buffalo and the Chiefs, where Buffalo was like, we just have to stop them for 13 seconds. But 42 seconds on the road, and Matthew Stafford comes up, more clutch. I mean, it's those plays right there. It's those moments right there that change. It literally changes the course of, like, his career. Like it's the kind of thing that literally could propel him into a Super Bowl.
But the only thing we're seeing now, I mean, the guy's only in the NFC Championship game, and yet the last 2 weeks, I mean, he's thrown the monkey off of the mountain off of his back because it's like, and he's doing this calm, cool, collected thing. He must just be going nuts in his head going, oh my goodness, we're a win away from going to the Super Bowl. We're two wins away from me having a ring the year that I got to L.A. and that people were wondering if he goes and gets plugged into this system, can he make it work? And the answer is yes. Now, we'll get back into him as well. I want to go back just real quick while it's fresh on my mind here about the overtime stuff because I think the immediate reaction last night, and we saw it, and I think Scotty G nailed it, which is like, yeah, it's the cliche take on every game that ends like this in overtime right now. Everybody's talking about you should change the overtime rules. The problem is
they did change the overtime rules.
All I'm saying, yes,
they changed did. It because of exactly what people
no
are complaining about.
No one wanted the kicker. No one wanted the kicker to decide.
It's too easy to go down the field just a few yards and kick a field goal and win the game.
Well, and so
give everyone
that
a chance.
They get that change, and then in the end, though, what we're really talking about is two things. Because I had no dog in this fight, you know. But I'm watching the most amazing football game I've seen all season long, and maybe in the last handful of years in the NFL, and I'm just like, this is insane. And there was this idea of, I don't want it to end. And you wanted it to go back and forth as much as it could. Because if Josh Allen gets another shot, that feels like there's some fairness there. But the reality is that the fairness happens in the fact that I didn't like how it ended. I don't like the overtime rule. I don't like that both teams can't touch it. Because the argument of, well, they should have played better defense is tough to do when the best player on the Bills team is their quarterback on their offense and he's sitting on the sideline with his hands in his warmer. And so I go, okay, what is the reality of it? The reality is exactly what these players have. I don't have a solution. There's not one that I like. There's not one where they go, I've seen the get to 9 points thing. That makes no sense to me. Oh, you got to score twice then? So what is it? The penalty kicks back and forth? Should it be a true touchdown-only finish kind of a deal? Not just let the kickers decide the thing? At some point, you sort of make it not traditional football because – then you're going to go to the college argument of put them on the 25-yard line. That's garbage, too. Here's what the quarterbacks who were in the game had to say about overtime. Here's Patrick Mahomes on the winning end of the overtime of last night. Take a listen.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out well for us this time. But it's sometimes it, whenever you got two teams going back and forth like you're going, it kind of stinks that you don't get to see the other guy go. But I'll take the win this time. Obviously, it hurt me last time. All you can do is play the rules the way that the rules are explained, and that's what we did today.
And Josh Allen, if he would have won the game in that fashion, he would have said, well, the rules are what they are. Yeah, you'd love to see it go back and forth. He said exactly all the things that I was just saying, which is I just didn't want the game to end. I wanted there to be another shot. I wanted there to be something more amazing in a game that could not have been topped already. And that's the only thing is it got cut short. And then there's a part, if your team loses, then you're really grumpy. Here's what Josh Allen, who lost with those overtime rules, had to say about it.
The rules are what they are, and I can't complain about that because if it was the other way around, we'd be celebrating too. So it is what it is at this point.
I don't really care about this overtime thing. I seriously don't.
Everybody's freaking out. I
really don't. I don't care that people are freaking out about it because the rule was changed for this same complaint. Well, it's just not fair that whoever wins the coin toss, all they got to do is go down the field and kick a field goal. It really isn't that easy for a team to go down and score. Yeah, I mean, Kansas City it got in a groove late in the game. Buffalo had the best defense in the NFL all year. Like they should be able to. These NFL defenses aren't chump change. They're not window dressing. They're not just out there standing in place. I mean, you're smart enough to know they're running these crossing routes. Can't you figure that out by now? But don't you know that's what they're going to go to?
You know, Travis Kelce might be a target.
I mean, come on. It's like they just didn't manage it well. I mean. If you want to complain about the game, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, you want to complain about the game, complain about 13 seconds. Don't I don't want to hear about the overtime. I seriously don't. I don't have a problem with the overtime.
Everybody loves to go, well, Josh Allen,
you have to score a touchdown. You have to score a touchdown. Okay? And that's just not the easiest thing to do in the NFL. And I hear it, yeah, let everyone touch the ball, let everyone get a shot. Sure, fine. That's great. Maybe everyone gets a chance to do it. To me, that would be the only modification to this. The only modification, everyone just, it's just normal football. The NFL doesn't want to get into like NHL penalty kicks, or they don't want to get into the college. They want it to stay pure, and they want it because these defenses and offenses typically are equal. Now, if you really thought they were equal, then the NFL should have equal rules because rules do not favor defenses in the NFL. It's an offensive league. No question about it. But really good defenses tend to be the teams that get into the playoffs and win Super Bowls. I just believe this was a phenomenal game. Someone's going to have to lose
they
it.
Have to.
At some point, somehow.
Otherwise, it's not amazing. Otherwise, it's not interesting.
Look, I sat there by my television, and I'm like, Buffalo is going on. There's no way in 13 seconds you can do this. I remember, you know, and I'm not like watching every down in the NFL. I'm sitting there going, Andy Reid's going to dump the ball short to Tyreek Hill like he did against the Dallas Cowboys a year ago and almost scored a touchdown instead of throwing a Hail Mary. I don't know if you remember. Maybe you remember that. Maybe you don't.
No, yeah. I'm sitting here.
I'm sitting here going.
Get the guy some space. He'll be faster than everybody.
I'm sitting here going. You've got to stop. Don't let him get those short, dumpy throws. Don't let him do it. Mm. And why are you rushing four people? Why in the world? No one rushes four people in that situation. It's about keeping everybody in front of you and keeping it underneath. You don't let them get. So this is the best defense in the NFL.
Yes.
And I can figure this out. Like, I'm not, you can't do those things. And it's just common. It's like so easy. And it's not Monday morning quarterback. It's not sitting here. You know, it's like, don't let as much time run off the clock. Do not kick the ball and give them a shot. Give them two shots. Kick the ball. Run as much time as you can. Keep the ball in play. Make them pick the ball up and make them run it. I mean, if you squib kick it and they pick it up at the 10-yard line and they want to down themselves with the 10, fine. There's no way you're going to go. But you've got to know these situations. And I guarantee you, Sean McDermott, who's a smart coach, you know, really good, the Buffalo Bills are killing themselves today. like if this is who I feel sorry for. Like if there's a city that deserves a chance, deserves to win – I mean, talk about just getting your heart ripped out. Like, I can't imagine.
They had to go through. They had to go with Jim Kelly in the mid-90s and now this.
The normal, like, glowing, like, you know, fluorescent cloud over Buffalo today is just extra dark and is just terrible. I can't imagine what it's like being in Buffalo, New York. Other than they have the nucleus of a team, and I know it's hard. I mean, you look at Peyton Manning and how many times it took him to finally get over the hill with this, and that's the toughness of the NFL. It's so hard to win. It's just so hard to win. These teams are all so good, and they're so talented.
Think about it, too.
And it's a tough pill to swallow if you're Buffalo, but, man, what a phenomenal game.
Think about how wild it is, too, if you are the Buffalo Bills, and you lived through this in the mid-90s, a future Hall of Fame quarterback at that point, Jim Kelly, as good as any of the good quarterbacks at the peak of everything. And the reality was, I think a lot of times you got those Cowboy and Bill Super Bowls. I mean, it was pretty obvious that Jim Kelly was probably as good or better quarterback than Troy Aikman.
Sure.
Didn't have the same type of weapons.
Different,
that Troy Aikman
just
did.
Different offenses.
Different offenses. Yeah. Probably was better than that Phil Sims in that Giants Super Bowl as well. Those 4 years in a row they go Giants, Cowboys. No, wait, what was it? Bottom line was he was the better quarterback in almost all those situations.
Yeah.
And he was a future Hall of Fame guy. And they went
Redskins.
And they went 0-4. They went 0-4, and that was the big joke. Yeah, but they got three AFC championships. No one cares. Jim Kelly is amazing. He's in the Hall of Fame. Great.
People care. I mean, I'm just saying. You care.
But the
only
thing is when you get to that place, then everyone goes, we remember you as the guy who gets to the Super Bowl and can't do it.
Yeah, but what you do when you get old, like it hurt. Like Josh Allen right now, Sean McDermott, the Buffalo Bills, stinging. Like stinging today. Like just so bitter, so painful. And over time they'll get over it and they're young and they'll bounce back. They'll be right back in the thick of things.
I don't know how
you could. here's where you get over it. About 25 years later.
Oh.
It starts to become seriously.
That is terrible.
It takes that but when you're young and you're still there playing,
I'll be there again next year.
You can. That's what's great about it. But when it's all over or when you're just a fan and you have to live with this every day, that like there's nothing you can do as a fan other than to just sit there and just to take
I'm putting you down for don't change the overtime rules in the NFL then. Is that right? I'm going to put it on the record so that I can go, Scott, here's the way that the overtime rules are not going to get changed because the next day a bunch of fans are pissed off. That's just not how it works.
No.
Here's when the overtime rules get changed. And this is where my argument starts to work a little bit. All I wanted to see was more football. If the owners can go, we can capitalize on maybe some extra money, maybe some the reality is more eyeballs on a situation like last night's game for the NFL makes it what it is. It's the king of TV sports right now in the U.S. It's the king. And after this weekend, Roger Goodell's just laughing maniacally in his cave because, one, he makes $70 million a year. Two, It just keeps rolling. It's just it's this thing that is unstoppable when you have a weekend
like
that.
Scary?
It keeps the NFL alive for the next three seasons just this last weekend alone.
You know what's scary about what you just said? I don't think the NFL has even hit the tip. Like, I just think it's the tip of the iceberg. I really do. I think with the viewing habits and the way things are changing with people, this streaming television, like, I think that just sends it in a new stratosphere and online betting.
Mariucci's on my TV every 5 minutes going, stick with your bets. I mean, the NFL wants you to bet responsibly. I'm like, the NFL just wants to make some money. So bet responsibly or not. Can you please
alcohol,
send the money our way?
Those ads, you think about the Super Bowl and Budweiser, and I mean, that is the king of advertising for the Super Bowl for the NFL.
Booze and gambling.
So booze and gambling.
That's where we've got.
And it's big. And it's getting bigger. Hey, I mean,
booze and gambling, and here I am buying a jersey for my kid online. And my son asked me the other day. Here's how insane it is. We're on a flight, right? Our family went to California over the Christmas break, or around then, whenever it was. He gets on the flight, and this is a smart boy. He looks at me and he goes, "Dad, so this because on the plane they give you some Diet Coke, Sprite, Fanta, seltzer." And he goes, "Dad, but this seltzer doesn't have alcohol in it, right? This isn't a Budweiser hard seltzer, is it?" I'm going, who is asking that? The kid who watches 58 hours of football every week. That's the kid. I was like, they are getting to him. They're getting to all of us. The Caesars commercials, Mariucci telling you to bet Coors Light, everything is just – and if the owners could figure out.
But that's not even the smartest part about it, Alex.
What is it?
Look at the players. Look at what they've turned the league into. Like, if you were watching this weekend, of all the eight teams, who do you not want to watch?
49ers.
Besides the 49ers.
Oh.
Tennessee.
Yeah, that's true. But the 49ers for the same reason.
They're the same two teams.
Where you go,
they're the same
Jimmy
two teams.
G, not a good quarterback. Ryan Tannehill, not as good a quarterback.
They're the same two.
Give me all the best quarterbacks. That's it.
And that's what the NFL's figured out. So you've got quarterbacks, you've got booze, you've got gambling, and it's all figured out right there. Because that's what people,
boys.
They want to watch something entertaining.
You want
some
quarterbacks?
Yeah.
You want some booze? You want some gambling? Scott's making a real pitch for the sanctity of the family on a weekend of football. Oh, my goodness. But it's exactly right. It's exactly right. We tune in, and boy, we are absolutely stuck to the TV on a game like that. My mom was over at our house last night, and she goes, it goes to overtime. She goes, "Okay, I think this is when I need to go." And everyone's like, "What?
Right now?"
She's like, "I just can't stand this. It's too much pressure." I'm like, "Mom, come on. All right, we're going to take a break." Hey, the Jazz are tipping off tonight right here. Down in Phoenix, taking on the Suns. Then they're going to be back on Wednesday taking on the Suns right here at Vivint Smart Home Arena. A couple of Suns games this week in a row, then off to Memphis. It is a tough stretch. Lost a tough one last night at Golden State. Gordy Chiesa is going to join us next. We're going to break down a little bit of what this Jazz team looks like now going into what is definitely the biggest stretch for them right now as to finding out what kind of team they are. So we'll come back. Gordy Chiesa is going to join us. We've got some NFL talk still to get through some of these other games. We didn't even get to some of these other games. So much for you on a Monday. So much to break down right here. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It is 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Just had a little bit. There's so much to talk about with the NFL. There's so much to talk about with the Utah Jazz. We'll leave the NFL behind for right now. I've got all sorts of questions for the guests that we always have with this music in the background. Coach Gordy Chiesa is on the program here with us. What's going on, Coach?
Alex, I'm doing well. Hi, Scott.
Hello, Coach. How are you? Look, I got to ask you a question right off the bat here. You ready for this one?
Yes.
Okay, so clearly the Jazz are not playing their best basketball this season right now, and according to Coach Quinn Snyder, he says, "I want this team playing its best basketball, of course, going into the playoffs." So how do you get it? How do you get the team? How do you get a team like this with all they've been through with COVID, with injuries? How do you get the team playing their best basketball leading up into the playoffs?
By keep creating good habits, and that even when you're in the loss, the ability to either guard the ball or move the ball offensively. So it's a process, and it's always painful. Don't make it fatal as far as a winning. And with the goal for the Jazz right now is to be champions. They're the fourth seed. How you do it is repetition of trying to get your bench players to play at a higher level. So in case of an emergency like tonight, or even more dramatic in a playoff game, they're more familiar of playing against intense defense, or when they've got to be a shot maker.
Coach, you mentioned about an emergency like tonight, and the injury report looks like this. Mike Conley out with right knee injury maintenance. That's because he doesn't play the second game of a back-to-back. That's kind of the thing that they've done with him. Rudy Gobert is out with a left calf strain. Donovan Mitchell still out with the concussion protocol still. Questionable are Boyan, Joe Ingles, and Royce O'Neal. And Scott and I were talking about this during the break, and maybe you have a more old school view of it, but what was the – is there such a thing as like, hey, going into this thing, we don't expect much out of a game like this. Is there such a thing as like a almost a scheduled loss, so to speak?
No, not at all. There's certain games in your schedule where it's going to be difficult, but you can't have that. You can't fall into that pattern where it's okay not to be successful.
Right.
So wherever the Jazz line up tonight, whether it's Trent Forrest at point guard, whether it's Elijah Hughes at two guard, whether it's Jordan Clarkson as a starter, even off the bench guy, but he starts tonight, Eric Paschal, and they get back Hassan Whiteside, no matter what it is, you got to perform. Likewise, remember now with the Suns, they're not playing tonight. Is Cameron Payne, also Jay Crowder, possibly DeAndre Ayton not playing. No Dario Saric, no Abdul Nader, and no Frank Kaminsky. So it's just like in the NFL, Scott, where the expression is a cliche, but it's actually a truism: next man up. And that's why it's uplifting when someone that's your ninth or tenth or 11th man in NBA and it's of a certain either game or period of games, they excel, and it's uplifting to the group.
So the Jazz take on the Suns tonight. I appreciate that comment, by the way, because I was a player who was the next man up, and I get it. So I appreciate it. But what is it about this Suns team that is a problem for the Jazz? What do the Jazz need to do to win the game tonight?
Well, the first problem is that they're a clutch team led by Chris Paul's brilliance. So, Scott, the Suns lead the NBA. They're 15-3 in clutch games, meaning this, is that there's a five-point differential within the last 5 minutes of a game. So just say the score was, for the mathematics of it, 85-80 during the last 5 minutes of a game. So 5 points or less, that they're 15-3, which means that when it gets close, a one to two possession game, they rely on Chris Paul's brilliance to get everybody in the right place and the shot making of Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges. So that makes them special. They win most of the close games. The second part is that they're the best shooting team in the NBA at 47.6, Jazz number 3, and they're the second best defensive team in the NBA overall rating, with only the Warriors, who the Jazz played last night, as a being number 1. So they're both sides of the ball. They're absolutely sensational. And Chris Paul is a change agent. He's a franchise influencer. Before he got there, the Suns really were a good, talented group of individuals. Chris made them what? An elite team.
Jazz last night come up short in that fourth quarter against the Warriors, like you were saying. Is there such a thing as a good loss, too? I mean, you were talking about lessons you can learn in losses, but, do you look at a game like that? There's ones that you look at and you go, man, you lose by 8 to the Pacers. That's one thing. But if you lose with the chance to win at the end against the Warriors, is that considered a good loss, or is it just the lessons you learn out of them?
It's the lessons you learn. Absolutely. So in that game last night where the Jazz played good defense, and I was impressed at the Jazz only had 9 turnovers. And that's where they're able to be in that game. And then they pounded on the boards 51-40. So they punched the Warriors in the face, and the Warriors just relied on their total team play to get the knockout punch. Remember also in that the loss last night, it was that they did a good job of guarding Stephen Curry, where their length bothered him, and they were able to stay in front of him. He, the world's greatest shooter of all time, goes 5-for-20 and 1-for-13. So it was a winnable game. Unfortunately, the Jazz had that scoring stretch, non-scoring stretch, where that eight minutes, they had a hard time themselves finishing plays. And that's why it's so important of a shot selection and driving the ball and getting to the foul line to pause and get your defense set then.
The trade deadline is looming. Does it feel like the Jazz will make a trade? And if so, who do you think they might get and give up?
Yes, Scott, the answer is yes, I do. I do for a lot of reasons, where the Jazz right now are the fourth seed in the West, and the Grizzlies, those guys are good. Even though they're the second youngest team in the NBA, the Grizzlies have an elite team, and so, and the Warriors, we know, are terrific, so are the Suns. So with that said, the Jazz need some defensive playmakers. Scott, in Jazz basketball, they're really a good team. But by the way, the Jazz are 30th in the NBA in forcing turnovers. 30th. Hmm. So, Scott, it'd be like in the NFL where you're last as far as takeaways in the NFL, even though your offense is good. So the Jazz are first in the NBA, the flip side of making most three-point shots. And they're the seventh team in the NBA as far as three-point accuracy. That's good. However, you've got to get some defensive players. So as far as adding to the group, so I would say like a guy like Robert Covington of the Portland Trail Blazers, that he could be out there because his salary matches up with basically with Joe Ingles, and that it's the same agent as a CAA client, which is the same agency of Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Mike Conley, and Eric Paschal. So that's an easy discussion by Jazz management to their agent as far as CAA agency. That's an easy discussion. So that could happen. Or another guy that Jazz possibly could be out there, Scott, is Thaddeus Young, who we know is a veteran who's also his contract maxed up. He's a free agent right now, and that he's a hustle player, good defensive player, and he's really a career 50% field goal percentage shooter. Not a deep range shooter, but he can guard, and he's a guy that also could be out there.
Does having a relationship with an agent like that, does that factor into a trade, or is it like, you know, really just looking for the best player available?
Well, the economics are almost equal. So in other words, like anything else, if the economics is so one-sided, there's no way I'm going to go to that team.
Right.
But if it's equal, now it's in the range of, you think it's plausible that you would definitely do that. And Scott, like any business, it's all about relationships.
Yeah.
You know, where you've got to, you know, over a period of weeks, months, years, decades, or a lifetime, that when you say to somebody that we'll consider it, and you will consider it, or we can get that done, and you will get that done. And so, again, I'm not being naive. You know, I used to be director pro personnel of the Grizzlies about 10 years ago. So we dealt with agents all the time.
Right.
And the learning point about that is that it's understanding how they would think towards their client, meaning the player, and how the agent thinks towards you and your coaching staff and your organization of how their client best fits in. And by the way, what's the economics?
Coach Gordy Chiesa joining us on the program. Coach, before we get to your list, your signature list for today, Scott is like this sometimes where he's like, I played in the league, and so it's harder, it's different for me to watch a game. Do you enjoy watching NBA games? Like, do you get wowed? Because yesterday we were talking about how Scott had a rare moment where he was just wowed by all these NFL games yesterday. But do you watch games and not just break them down with the coach brain? Can you enjoy them?
No, I can't. I can't. No, I love basketball, but I can't enjoy it because I'm watching.
You're analyzing it.
Yeah, exactly. Scott.
Yeah,
I'm trying to watch.
I get it.
I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss that guy on the sideline when he walks out of the game and he throws his jersey down, or he takes half his jersey off, because that tells me that he's only focused about himself as a coach talking about the game. Likewise, I want to see when a guy makes a negative play how he responds in the next play. So I'm always like watching everything. People tell me all the time, Gordy, did you see the great halftime act or the great act of the third quarter during intermissions? And I said, really? Like, what was it? Oh, it was some Russian guy on the top of with the sauces on his head, and he was having what a fun thing. Gordy, you didn't see that? Really? Really?
So no, you're not gonna, yeah.
I can't.
Yeah,
but
I
wish
figured,
I could.
I wish
I could be almost normal.
But,
I wish I could.
Scott is
no,
the same.
I get
thing.
It. I have
Scott,
the same.
You validated like, Scott. But then, yeah. Can you cross over sports? Like, did you enjoy watching those NFL games yesterday? Or do you
oh,
not
absolutely.
Watch?
I'm yeah. the opposite of Scott Mitchell. The answer is what games? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, the Kansas City game. Yikes! That was a one for the ages.
Yeah.
And then the 49ers. You know, everybody keeps dissing them. All I know, they keep winning.
Yeah.
And as you know, Scott, well, in the playoffs, whether it's basketball or football. Most playoff games are ugly. They might be exciting, but they're always intense, but they're ugly because most times it's a slugfest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most times.
See?
Generally speaking.
I love it. Coach, your list today might have a little something to do with one of the really good guards that the Jazz are taking on tonight down there in Phoenix.
Very much. Here we go. This list today is the most career regular season games of 10 assists and no turnovers. Imagine this, so you don't turn the ball over, but you have 10 assists career-wise. It's a short list. Number 10, Tim Hardaway did it 17 times. Number 9, Avery Johnson did it 18 times.
Okay.
Tied for 8, Steve Nash, former Ute great Andre Miller, Nick Van Exel, and Gary Payton. They did it 19 times. Number 7 all-time, Mookie Blaylock did it 20 times. Number 6, Jose Calderon from Spain did it 21 times. Number 5, Mark Jackson did it 26 times. Number 4, the coach of the presently of the Dallas Mavericks, Jason Kidd, did it 27 times. Number 3, I had the privilege to coach this guy for many, many years. John Stockton did it 44 times in his career. Of 10 assists and no turnovers.
And he never wore a mask while he did it.
Here's number 2. This one, Allison Scott, I would never thought this ever, so I'm so happy I did this list today. The second all-time greatest player with 10 assists or more, he did it 46 times. His name is the smallest player in the history of the NBA. We all love him. Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it.
46 times.
I would not have thought in a million years that would have been a stat line that he would have had.
No, neither did I. As a matter of fact, I knew you guys are quasi-smart. Emphasize quasi-smart. What is Muggsy Bogues' first name?
Oh, it's got to be like Charles or something like that. What is it?
See, I'm glad you guys aren't scientists. I'm glad. His real name is Tyrone.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
All right, number 1. The number 1 greatest player as far as handling the ball and having patience and confidence and making the correct decision with 49 times. He had 10 assists and no turnovers. He's going to play tonight's Jazz tonight. We all love him, Chris Paul.
There you go. Chris Paul. That's the list.
That's my list.
Wow. I love it. Coach, we love having you on, and every time we can get you on a Monday, it makes our day brighter. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks guys. Peace out.
Coach Gordy Chiesa right there, brought to you by Divvy, the modern financial platform for business. See how you can spend smarter at getdivvy.com. Valentine's Day coming soon, fellas. Get the 24 rose special right now for just $49.99 at Jimmy's Flowers with stores in Bountiful, Layton, Ogden, or jimmysflowers.com for early delivery. jimmysflowers.com. You're gonna have to get ready for Valentine's Day. Don't start thinking about it when you're in double digits already into February. So let's figure this thing out. Taking the break here. We'll come back when we return. We got our weekend warriors, people who absolutely dominated the weekend for us. You might be right in assuming that it's going to be NFL heavy. Stay right here with us. First one to get out and say finally, the real estate should be done this way, the way they do it, the homie way. Full service, local agents. You'll save thousands. Homie, a better way to buy or sell. Homie.com. Taking the break here. More to go right here. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone.
Attention.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. This is Unrivaled. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, thanks for hanging out with us. Hopefully you had as fun of a weekend as we did watching. I mean, I had no team in this thing. This is the first time in a long time the Seahawks haven't really been part of any of these weekend celebrations that all you folks are living through right now.
You know what was fun this weekend?
Not seeing the Seahawks, is that what you're going to say?
No.
What? What?
Oh, it was watching the Utah Grizzlies.
Oh, my gosh. We went to the Grizzlies game on Saturday. That was so much fun. We had some listeners who won the chance to come out and get in the suite. Here's what it was. It featured a fight, a penalty shot. Grizzlies scored 5 goals and won. So it's 5-2, right? So you have 7 goals in the game. We got to throw those foam pucks onto the ice, try to hit the bear, Grisby, right? We had a blast, man.
Yeah.
So thanks for all the listeners for coming out. And we'll do it again. We have to do it again.
I'm going again.
Scott bought tickets while we were there to another home game.
Of course I did.
But it's because Scott, this is the way, and just between you and I, listeners, this is how Scott does it. He's like, I got front row. Because that's what Scott has to do. He has to be like, I want to be right on the boards.
Well, why would I? Would you want to be anywhere else?
I want to. Well, yeah, up in the suite.
You like pound on the glass.
I want to be up in the suite.
We're actually going to sit. Scott wants to sit by the goal.
Yeah, Scott wants to yell through the boards, that little tiny gap through the boards. Say some stuff about the goaltender's mom.
No, I want to watch the puck get shot at the net. I want to see that.
I love that. All those people behind the net,
I
want to
see them like when they come down the ice.
And then all those checks happen right behind the goal there. That was fun. We did have fun at the Grizzlies game. Market update brought to you by TriDayTrading.com. The Dow into the positive today, up 100 points today. NASDAQ up 86 points. S&P 500 up 12. So at least a positive day in the green for the markets this week. That market update brought to you by the good folks at TriDayTrading.com. Our weekend warriors, we're going to roll out right now. These are the people who are absolutely dominant this weekend in whatever fashion that they were. Let's highlight some of the folks who might not necessarily get all the accolades, although kickers got more love this weekend. You know, speaking of stocks on the rise, kickers, special teams guys, they got a lot of love, including a former Utah special teamer, Matt Gay, hitting a game winner yesterday for those Rams.
Matt Gay, with 4 seconds on the clock, will attempt a 30-yard field goal from the left hash. Hits it with the right foot. Kick on its way. It is through. It is good. Matt Gay brings it home. Los Angeles will host the NFC Championship game next Sunday at SoFi Stadium.
Packed with 49ers fans.
Thought that he was going to kick it with his left foot.
I know. I just love play-by-play. Like, I know the version of this where you have to kind of just fill the time. And the guy just says whatever came to his mind at that point. He goes,
everyone who's a Rams fan knows who Matt Gay is. And knows that he's right-footed.
Like, and if
you're listening to right to left, there's a slight wind in his face, and
I love it. The thing
probably
is,
be like a 10-yard extra. Oh, here's the thing about Matt Gay: when he missed the field goal earlier,
yes,
I look on his face like, how did I miss that?
He got cut by the Buccaneers, there's all this stuff. I mean, he's a Pro Bowler this year too.
Look, for the guy to make a clutch kick, it's awesome.
To beat Tom Brady. That's all I would say. I didn't beat the Buccaneers.
No, there's the thing about beating Super Bowl. Your old team.
Well, and beating
the... No, it's your old team, yes. Yeah.
Your old team, the guys who cut you. So it's not just like, I got traded.
Not only that, they cut you, and guess what ends up happening when they cut you? They go to the Super Bowl. That hurts.
Yeah.
Can't say that's happened to me.
Love that stuff, man.
You know who really was a weekend warrior?
Who was it for you?
The NFL. I mean, they've been a little maligned. The whole kneeling thing, the whole blah, blah, you know, just...
Oh, come on. They're back. They were back from that a long time ago.
I don't know about a long time ago. I will just tell you, the NFL won big time. Big time.
No, they had... It was amazing.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. It was appointment watching at its best. It was the kind of thing where I was like, I don't know. Do I want to really see these? Do I really want to watch these games tomorrow? Like, because they take up so much time. And, you know, and what was funny was we're watching the Grizzly game and the Packers 49ers game's going on.
Right.
And we're watching each other's phones.
Yeah.
We're like, we're
multitasking.
We were just as dialed in for that as we were anything else. Yeah. So I'm just telling you. All right. My weekend warrior. I don't know if this one, this was one that actually, absolutely came out of the nowhere a little bit for me, just because of how dominant of a performance it was, even though they didn't get the win. Gabriel Davis with 4 touchdowns, 201 yards, with fewer than 10 catches in the game, too. So it's just like the guy was absolutely bonkers. Gabriel Davis, this was his 3rd touchdown of the night.
Allen fires it. It's a wide open! Remarkable! Touchdown, Buffalo! Davis again! This is... it just is impossible. A strike!
It was amazing. It was just another one. And look, Josh Allen, he threw it with his right arm, by the way.
Yeah.
Drops back, yeah. Throws it with his right arm. But Gabriel Davis, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, and especially when you got Cole Beasley and you got Tavon Diggs, it's just one of those things where you don't expect that to happen, and someone steps up big time.
They
like
have
that.
To that's when they're massive. All over yeah. Tavon Diggs like that. And so.
I said this earlier though, Matthew Stafford. I thought to come back from the about the end of what was happening and to have that. You know, big moment. That was huge for Matthew Stafford.
Well, and it wasn't just Matthew Stafford, but it was this guy who he always likes to throw to as well.
Empty shotgun look. Stafford has it. Again, a 4-man rush from the Buccaneers. Deep drop. Big throw. Down the right side. Cooper Kupp's all alone. He caught it at the 30 to the 20. Cuts inside. 10, 5. Touchdown, Cooper Kupp. Touchdown, LA.
That's something you shouldn't have to say. Cooper Kupp is all alone. This guy led the league in receptions, yards, and touchdown catches. Yeah. Why is he alone?
Yards after catches.
Why is he alone?
Oh, yeah. Well, they have other players, too. I mean,
they do.
I mean having
Odell
OBJ,
Beckham, yes.
that's been a massive addition to them. And that's the thing. Like, when you find talent, you get talent. And they did it at the right time. They gave these guys enough time to come in, you know, Von Miller, OBJ, to come in and get assimilated into what's going on, get comfortable. L.A.'s not the easiest place just to move around. I mean, it's a shock. It's an adjustment for anyone. And for these guys to come in and do – I mean, you go from Denver to L.A., that's kind of – or you go from Cleveland to L.A.,
ooh.
That's a big jump.
But see, at the same time, OBJ's like, I want to be in L.A., OBJ wants that attention. He wants all that, those accolades. So I've been actually pretty surprised that it's worked out as well as it has with them.
It's not fair that a place like Los Angeles wins the Super Bowl. It really, at the end of the day, it really isn't fair. And it's only not fair because you're right; they don't have fans. That's not fair. It's not right.
They have fans. A bunch of, because at some point you'll watch the game this weekend and it'll do that montage of. The 50 celebrities that they got shots of during the game, all of them are disinterested. They're all eating. They're not. None of them are cheering.
No.
They're not catching them in a moment of elation either. It's like Dr. Dre, look at him, and he's just like another nacho down the hatch. Yeah. Boom. Oh, look at this.
I wonder if
Adele.
I wonder if the Rams have any fans back in St. Louis. Wonder if anyone there is actually.
They're
still
probably. I would argue they're actually more passionate fans for the Rams. But I mean, like that they were there.
I'm talking about.
You mean
now.
Are they fans now? I bet there are.
Yeah.
I bet there are
because like the Raiders. Up, you know? The Raiders have fans in L.A.
And they have fans in Oakland.
And they have fans in Oakland. And
now
they
have
fans
in Vegas
because they're an easy team to like no matter
and
where.
They have one in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, well,
it's Lloyd Cole.
They got a couple.
They do. Mitch Harper, another big Vegas Raiders fan now. All right. Let's take the break here. Weekend Warriors are brought to you by Tim Dowell and Nissan Murray, home of the auto warranty that doesn't quit. It's endless. It's perpetual. It's the forever warranty at Tim Dowell, Nissan, and Murray. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back 4 o'clock hour around the corner. When we return, we've got all sorts of stuff to jump into. What is Aaron Rodgers going to do? If you're Aaron Rodgers, what do you do? What's the best situation for you? We'll talk about that next right here. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tweeting at us, whatever you want to do. All those things. I'm good with all of it. We would love for you to participate in the show any way possible. Got a ton to get into. Former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell in front of me, as always. Jumping into the second hour here, we got to get right into it here because I want to ask about the future of the future Hall of Famer, Aaron Rodgers. Let's jump in right here. It's The Cut.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Do you know what's really sad?
Yeah, what do you got?
Is there something you want to, you have an ad or something you got to read?
I don't have to right now.
Go ahead, read your ad and I'll tell you what's really
Scott,
really sad.
You've worked your tail off. Your retirement should be family and fun, not work and worry. Go to retireteton.com/radio to get a complimentary retirement assent plan from Teton Wealth Group. That's retireteton.com/radio. Okay, now you're ready.
All right, this was the saddest part about this whole weekend.
What?
And it
There's
happened.
No sad part.
No,
no, sad
no
part.
There is a sad part. There's a really sad part.
I mean, there are a lot of teams that went down.
No, no, it's not even a team that went down.
Oh, what is it?
It's a team that never got a chance to even go down.
If you bring up my Seahawks, so help me.
No, 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 because they've won a Super Bowl.
They've been at the top of the mountain. Yeah.
If the Cincinnati Bengals can be in the AFC Championship game and go, and they've been to a couple of Super Bowls, and they only give you one pair of socks a year, and if they can make it, if they can win,
I bet they've changed it
to just
two now.
Feel so bad for the Detroit Lions.
Ooh.
Like they,
so wait,
they
but,
the Lions have not won since the 50s, and I was there. I mean, I
won a lot of games.
Yeah, well, I know, but it's like the Detroit Lions. I don't care about Jacksonville. I don't care about Houston because they're expansion franchises. They're the only other. There's only three teams that have never been to a Super Bowl. The Detroit Lions have never been to a Super Bowl, and the Cincinnati Bengals. The hapless Bengals. I think the Bengals are considered like maybe the worst franchise in the NFL. Like it's the black hole of places. It's been the black hole.
So this
Josh
is
Burrow is gonna make the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow.
Oh, if we could get Josh Allen, Joe Burrow.
He's gonna make the Bengals sexy.
Yeah.
He really is. And all I think about is I don't think about the Bengals. I think about the poor Detroit Lions.
But right now, hold on a minute. Who's the most hapless franchise? Is it the Lions or is it the Browns? The Browns haven't gone either. The Browns haven't even gone.
Oh,
the
Browns
Super Bowl.
Haven gone either, have they?
No. Yeah. The Jaguars, that historic franchise.
I forgot about the Browns.
Yeah, the Browns.
See, that's how bad the Browns are. Is I actually forgot about the Browns.
We all did.
But it's not the Cleveland Browns. It's the new Browns. See, this is a franchise.
Oh,
this
okay.
is an expansion
I got
franchise.
You.
The real Cleveland Browns went to Baltimore.
Yeah, and they've won it a couple times.
Yeah.
There you go. You know, you shouldn't feel as bad for them.
The only historical franchise in the NFL has not gone to the Super Bowl. And they're not going anytime soon either.
Well, yeah.
And
I mean,
and they trade away Matthew Stafford. And they can't keep Calvin Johnson, who was a freaking phenom.
Cleveland threw away OBJ.
I mean, yeah.
They're not going to be any better.
They can't keep anybody happy.
That's terrible.
That's bad.
Scott, Aaron Rodgers is one of these guys over the weekend that is.
Aaron Rodgers should go to the Detroit Lions.
All
instant.
That's your bitch.
Yeah.
He says he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild.
You know, so many guys' contracts are up or on the brink or salary cap stuff. So a lot of decisions to be made. I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. If I'm going to keep playing. So a lot of decisions, you know, in the next couple months.
I'm sure it's the same thing Tom Brady went through.
He said he didn't Tom say Brady never said, been built. Hey.
No, but what I think he's saying is like, look, what's going on here in Green Bay is our window was like kind of right now. Like this was it. And I'm sure it was it for him. And I think he looks to Tom Brady and he goes – Where is a team really close? Where is a team got a lot of the parts and they just need that guy to get them over the hump? But on top of that, they've got a coach. I think that's why he really liked Denver. I think he thought Denver wasn't far off.
Is he?
And if he could get an offense that he was comfortable with and used to, he's going somewhere.
Is his drama too annoying for a franchise, though?
No.
No.
No. Everyone has.
Even for Green Bay, where it's been the most annoying, they're still like, please. Although I will say, I saw more dedicated Pack fans this weekend who are like, I'm not sure the payoff is worth the annoying parts of what you get with Aaron Rodgers right now. Yeah. Because getting to the division, going as the first seed, hosting that home game against what should be a slam dunk win for you against the 49ers at your place. And you've got Aaron Rodgers, you've got Devontae Adams, you've got this whole roster is set now for you to be able to – you got Randall Cobb back for the weekend, and you score a measly 10 points.
Here's what's different. Here's what my challenge with Aaron Rodgers is and how he's so different from Brett Favre. Brett Favre would just had fun. Brett Favre did not take himself so serious. He did not. He never took any of it so serious.
Aaron Rodgers does all those fun, relatable insurance commercials. Come on.
When Aaron Rodgers is playing football, it never seems fun. I don't get the commercials, whatever. But when he's playing football, it just seems.
You don't get the vibe like he's having
a good
time.
And the commercials, they're a little bit snarky. They're a little bit like.
Oh, you're not breaking down his insurance commercials. Like, come on. They're fine.
You don't break down Nick Saban's horrendous acting job.
Aaron Rodgers should get an Academy Award compared to what Nick Saban does
But they're not fun. Okay? I'm just saying. This is my opinion.
So Aaron Rodgers is a guy that. If he goes somewhere
right now,
he just
sucks all of the life out of things and all of the fun out of things.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is it worth it for a franchise then? If you're
the Detroit Lions, if you're someone desperate for a championship, you will take no fun. You will take sucks the life out of everything as long as we win. Aaron Rodgers, sure. Yeah, I could see a team like Denver. I just think he's going to end up in Denver. I really do.
Is there a better spot where he could end up?
Or a team like the Raiders.
Ooh.
Except Aaron Rodgers' hair doesn't work with the Raiders.
Yeah, it does. Derek Carr's got the same hair coming out of the back.
No. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know that anything really looks good with Aaron. I know everyone loves Aaron Rodgers' hair, whatever. Look. What I loved about it, can we get on from Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. Because
I was just saying, I was wondering what you thought his future was going to look like.
Well, it won't be in Green Bay.
So you don't think he'll just do the whole, I'm going to come back and we're going to run it back again?
No, they won't run
when
it back.
When he says that I don't want to be a part of a rebuild, is that him already just assigning himself to, I'm going somewhere, but I don't want to, will you please call me only if you're going to win a championship next year? Call me if you're going to, or is he saying to the Packers, hey, get a couple of more pieces here because it's nice to have Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, but short of that, we don't really have a ton of other pieces here. Give me some other pieces.
So he'll be somewhere. It won't be
Green Bay.
I kind of thought it would be New Orleans, but Sean Payton feels like he's kind of out the door too. And maybe there's that discussion. Say, look, if you can get me, I'll come back here. I'll tell you another team that's not far off is the Miami Dolphins. Like they might be a team that could get real interesting there. I think you're better off being in the NFC. I think there are better teams. I think there are better teams in the AFC.
Yeah, this year feels like
you got Buffalo, you got Kansas City, you've got.
Is it automatic that
you got Joe Burrow? You got Baltimore is a pretty good team. There's just.
That's pretty wild because the NFC was always, in my mind, they were always the more like top to bottom tough conference.
So here's what I loved the most about this weekend, and it's the theme that always rears its head, and it's about playing to win and playing not to lose. And you have the Tennessee Titans with a chance to go ahead and win this game, and there was no sense of urgency. There was no 2-minute drill. They were just like, and I'm sitting here going, go win the football game. And what they were saying is, well, let's go to overtime because so you're a quarterback, and by the way they call the plays in the game, what they're saying is we got no confidence in you, and you can't have that in the NFL. You can't have a quarterback playing, or you can't have it in your mind. Well, well, we don't want our quarterback to screw it up. And guess what? That's that defensive mindset and that defensive mentality, and it doesn't work. The Cincinnati Bengals, as limited as they were and as challenging as that game was, they were just like, Joe Burrow's like, I'm here to win this game. I'm here to win this game. And I don't think people understand the throw he made to get them in field goal position. That's not an easy throw. It's just not an easy throw. And he threw it with accuracy and with confidence, and he did it because, and it goes back to another thing I talk about all the time, he has mechanics that stand up under pressure. And when the game gets on the line, it's like, yeah, I can make this throw. And I can make it because my body has been trained to be in a position to be consistent under pressure.
You know, it's interesting you said that because last night we had that same conversation during that Chiefs-Bills game. It was when it was 26-29. So, you know, however many touchdowns it was already into this thing going in. And I think there was a minute left or less than a minute left or I don't know what. But it was the Chiefs had the ball and it was, now how far do you have to get down before you kick the game-tying field goal to send this thing into overtime? And I told my son, I go, Patrick Mahomes is going to go for a home run here. Because if they score a touchdown, then they're up 4 points. And then that's even harder for the Bills. Obviously, they'd have to get a touchdown to tie it. Right. Which they ended up – the Chiefs go down and score a touchdown – and you're going, this thing's over. The Bills go down and score a touchdown. You're going, this thing's over. And then 13 seconds left. You don't squib kick it on the kickoff. And the special teams coordinator should be fired for this.
But what you have is you have two teams that are playing to win.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so, and for me in that game, if I'm a fan, I go, love that game.
Amazing.
But I know it's painful for the Buffalo Bills. But they've got a lot of really good football ahead of them in the future, they really do. I mean, when you have the guy, and Josh Allen is the guy there, you can build a lot around that, and he just exudes confidence right now, and they've done a tremendous job of developing him into a great player, which in my mind, you look at all these young players today, right, and really you look at these young quarterbacks in the NFL. Justin Herbert's another guy that I think can be like that. You've got Joe Burrow. You have Kyler Murray. You've got, does Trevor Lawrence with the Jacksonville Jaguars, do they ever figure that out? I mean, is he – because he's kind of in that same build as Josh Allen. You know, he's a little bit taller, got a really strong arm. And can they create a system around him that can really make him – shine? I sure hope so, because he's a heck of a talent, and you'd hate to see that wasted. But then it begs to question, what about Zach Wilson at the Jets? I mean, because his first season, like with Joe Burrow, you could see –
what was that noise you made?
It's a nervous, I'm not sure noise.
Because
I mean,
the really future what it looks semi bleak for the guy.
It's a little iffy right now. With Joe Burrow, as bad as the Bengals were, now, do you get some talent around Zach Wilson? Because they got a lot of picks early on in this draft, and they could really make some noise where they are in the draft. I don't know. I don't know about Zach Wilson. I don't know. I don't know about Trevor Lawrence. And really, at the end of the day, I mean, maybe Mac Jones. I mean, for a rookie season, he certainly seemed the most polished. But does he have the most ability? And I don't know if that's true. I don't know. A lot of really good young quarterbacks in the NFL.
If you could build your team around one of them, who would it be?
Joe Burrow.
It would be. Out of all the guys we just talked about.
Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, of them.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You only get one. You get the one to build the foundation on.
The one guy.
Yep.
I can pick any quarterback.
Any quarterback in the entire league you can build your foundation around.
Patrick Mahomes.
What made you switch from
I thought you meant not like a young rookie up-and-coming guy.
But no, I mean –
Like Patrick Mahomes, I look at him as more established. He's probably going to go to what, his third Super Bowl in 4 years?
Yeah.
Played in every AFC championship game pretty much since he's been playing.
Yeah, the Chiefs have been – and four straight. It's the first team I think ever to go to four straight, all hosting the AFC Championship game.
Where Patrick Mahomes is getting though is like, you know, he was a thrower before. I mean, just insane throws before, but he's really starting to kind of get that maturity of understanding the game and understanding what he's doing so much more. And so his knowledge is certainly catching up with his physical ability. And that just gets really exciting when you have a player that's just kind of has everything just working on all cylinders. That's an easy answer.
Didn't sound that easy to me. I almost think that I would be that I think I'd be more, and I'm going back and forth on Twitter with a Wyoming fan who was like, you never gave this respect when he's in college. But the thing is that, I mean, I don't think anybody would have guessed that he would have been this good. I mean, I can't believe how big he is, and yet I can't believe he can get away from anybody in the league, it seems like, on foot. The scrambling that he and Patrick Mahomes did last night,
so
unbelievable.
Here's someone who really should get respect, since we're talking about the Bengals, Titans, Jimmy Garoppolo. People can make fun of, and they can downgrade. The guy's been in a Super Bowl, won two playoff games on the road in Dallas and Green Bay. I mean, those are tough places to go play. Those are some of the most storied franchises in NFL history. And you're going to Dallas and beating the Cowboys, and you're going to Green Bay and beating the Packers. And at the beginning of the year, everybody has basically just said, you stink, and we've got your replacement. And it's like, I mean you looked at John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, and they're like, well, yeah, Jimmy's our guy for now, but, you know, he's not going to be. I mean, that takes nerves of steel. Nobody likes, and nobody can, you know, it's like right now with the Utah Jazz. These guys know, somebody knows they're going to get traded. And it impacts how you feel about the team. It impacts your performance. You start questioning every time you make an incompletion, a bad play. And you can't play that way. You can't play where you're just wondering. So to see him really just kind of go, screw you guys. You know, I'm, you know what? And to win like he has, and to make the plays, because they're built around that defense, and that defense is really good. That defense is a defense that could win championships for you. And to be able to understand that, I mean he had as big a performance as anyone. I don't care. I mean, it maybe statistically it wasn't, but they're figuring out how to win football games, and that's all it's about, is you get the W, especially on the road.
And if the 49ers do end up saying Trey Lance is our guy, Jimmy Garoppolo, teams are going to look at him and go, this guy's won in the playoffs a ton. This guy won in Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers, and that's all. Anytime that the 49ers would take on the Packers, well, they'd win that game.
But then you go, what do you do? I mean, you keep him, you know, he's played well enough to where you go, is he still our guy? I mean, how do you throw away a guy that's winning for you? I remember Brian Billick doing that with Trent Dilfer and going, the guy just won a Super Bowl for you, and you're not re-signing him next year. That's cold.
Elvis Graybach. Hey, listen, was he Tom Brady? Did he start in front of Tom Brady?
Like they said Elvis Graybach was going to be the.
Is he a Michigan quarterback?
Yeah, and he was, I thought he was very talented, but man, the dude just didn't want to play football.
That's hilarious.
And they, you know, I don't know. I mean. People make dumb decisions in the NFL. You know why they make dumb decisions? Because they make money no matter what. That's the thing.
The guys hugging each other after the game.
You make bad business decisions in the NFL, and it's like, yeah, whatever.
I like the sportsmanship of Patrick Mahomes.
You're the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
You stink. You stunk for years. And guess what? You get paid the same amount as, like, the New England Patriots and the Tampa Bay.
So the effort sometimes isn't always there from the ownership.
And they go, here's all this monopoly money, and you have to just go out and just negotiate contracts. But you got to spend all of this. Just go spend all this money.
Let's take a break. Hey, when we come back, we got Jeremiah Jensen from KSL 5 Television who's going to join us. We got to break down a lot more just from the full weekend. And, boy, there's a lot to get into. Every time JJ joins us, we kind of get the breakdown of what they're doing on television and also just go through the Jazz and Suns preview for tonight. Jazz are 11-point dogs in this one, Scott. I know you don't like hearing it, but they're 11-point dogs against both teams. Absolutely.
11's not enough.
They just have so many guys on the well, hey, the Jazz are
I guess everyone has
last week by
I guess everyone has guys out tonight.
Jazz Suns tonight. Jeremiah's going to break it down a little bit for us, plus the weekend that was in the NFL. More to go. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back to the program. It's Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. It's Unrivaled.
So,
I'm watching some Aaron Rodgers highlight. Low lights?
No lights.
No lights.
Yeah. Lights are out, dude.
Dude.
The party's over. I saw something that kind of made my head scratch.
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, I know we got JJ.
Oh, JJ's on.
But I want him to hear this, and okay. I'm curious what he thinks. So, Texas, right? They're like a good school, right?
University of Texas? As a school, you mean?
And I know you're on Twitter with some dude from a Wyoming fan, right?
Texas is a good school, yes.
Like it's a good school.
Yes.
So there's this list of like the teams that have like the best transfer portal offseason.
Yeah.
And Texas is one of them.
They've had a good offseason.
Well, because they got Quinn Ewers, right?
Yes.
From Ohio State.
Yeah.
But they got a wide receiver from Wyoming.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I mean,
am I supposed to be excited about the wide receiver out of Wyoming?
Oklahoma
conversely had the worst transfer portal.
But this is Texas,
rating.
Right? Yeah. And so, and then they get a tight end from Alabama, and they get a DB from Ohio State.
Okay,
so you got Ohio State, Alabama, and Wyoming.
Yeah,
and I'm just wondering, like.
I think it's just because we love to just hope that a blue blood program will come back around. Doesn't matter who it is. We want that.
Do you really need someone from Wyoming?
Well, that's a good question.
That's what really jumped out at me.
JJ's like, going to join us. He's a native Wyoming.
Right.
Is a Wyoming wideout worth signing at the University of Texas, JJ?
If his name is Isaiah Nayor, then yes. That guy's a star.
Oh, there you go.
That's who it is.
Okay, so there you go. It's a no-brainer.
Any school would be lucky to have him. He's that good.
How did he end up at
no offense to
because
Wyoming.
It's the same reason that Josh Allen ended up at Wyoming.
I'm curious, why didn't he end up at Texas to begin with?
I don't know. That's a good question. Probably because Texas signed some five-star kid that actually wasn't that good.
Yes.
Because the recruiting system's broken.
Yes.
The star system's fraudulent.
We've watched this process before of stars being assigned to players.
Yes.
I know. We know people in this industry who will just go, I don't know, what do you want to give them? And they'll go, and they're putting stars on their websites, reputable websites, and they'll go, I don't know, give them a 3.5, give them a 3+, and then you go, why? Nah, just because that's the way I'm feeling today. And that's what we like. And we don't just talk about your stars. We talk about them even after you transfer after 2 or 3 years from a school. We talk about your high school stars.
That
don't mean anything.
Sticks with these guys forever, no matter what they do at the school they went to. Yeah. But that somehow all these 4- and 5-star guys end up in the portal and they couldn't make it where they went. Well, there's oftentimes this overlooked kid that nobody offered, and he goes to a school like Wyoming and he racks up over 1,000 yards receiving, and all of a sudden schools like Texas take notice. Right? That's the new world we're in. That's the new college football. I hate it. I don't like it. But a lot of these group of five teams have become developmental programs for the blue bloods.
It's like the junior college is what they used to be.
Right.
Essentially, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jeremiah Jensen.
Transfer portal. That's what it's created.
Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television joining us on the program. That's the voice you hear over the phone there. So JJ got walked into that ambush of Scott's, which I like. I'm like,
well, it wasn't meant to be an ambush.
No,
it was
I'm just saying
like,
that's what we I love this kind of stuff. You bring a third voice in on it, and you got yourself a stew there. So, JJ, I want to know, I mean, will you grow a mustache for television when Aaron Rodgers becomes a Denver Bronco?
Absolutely, 100%. If it gets the signing done,
hey,
if it makes it happen.
Jeremy,
and you know what?
If
he brings Devontae Adams with him, I'll grow a full beard.
Oh, dude, you got to do the hair in the back. You got to do the mullet. If you're going to do that, you got to do the mustache and the mullet. Let's do it.
I just want the mustache.
I can do that.
I just want the mustache.
Whatever is required, let's make that happen.
Well, we were this whole weekend of all the quarterbacks who did well and didn't do well. I think that if you were to mark down, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are both going to get beat at home by these lesser seeds, I think we probably would have said, well, maybe one of them, not both.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at the results. I thought that they were both going to be meeting in the NFC Championship game if I was going to pick those out. But after watching the games, the Rams are really, really good. And I think the 49ers' defense is incredible. I'm still not all in on Jimmy G, but he's got enough weapons around him. And you combine him with that defense, and they got just enough to beat you. And they went into Lambeau and won a game against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I was pretty impressed. So, I was really surprised by the results. I thought we were going to have a Rodgers versus Brady NFC Championship game, and we're getting quite the opposite. So here we go. Rams and 49ers are kind of fun, a division rivalry, and I kind of like the matchups going into conference championship weekend.
What was the biggest surprise for you? What did you appreciate the most this weekend about all the NFL games?
I love the competitiveness, number one, to have three games end on walk-off field goals, and the other one go to overtime in the way it did with the most wild 2 minutes of football I've ever seen in my life. That was the number one thing for me. Number two is how blessed are we to be able to watch quarterbacks like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes battle in a playoff game like that, or Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady. I mean, we are so spoiled right now. And now you got this young up-and-comer in Joe Burrow who's got all this moxie and has turned around a franchise that stunk forever. And now they're one win away from a Super Bowl. I just such a great weekend of NFL football and so much to be excited about. You know, I play quarterback. I love quarterbacks, the quarterback guy like you are, Scott. And what tremendous quarterback play. Despite all the odds and all the adversity and some tough defenses all those quarterbacks were facing, minus the Chiefs and Bills defenses, obviously. I'm talking about the other games, but just a great weekend of football. It was just amazing.
All right. Well, of all the quarterback play this weekend, what did your game resemble? Which guy? Which guy?
Jimmy Garoppolo. I just got out of the way and let everybody else do the work and win the game. So that would have to be my honest answer. I wish I was Josh Allen, man. That guy is, man, he's got a hose. And Patrick Mahomes is like a wizard, man. Like, he had, like, that Matrix moment. Like, he went Neo on that one pass that he threw around the defensive end and completed. He was just doing stuff that just, I don't even, you look, go back and look at the great quarterbacks of all time, and they did awesome things, but he makes throws we've never seen before.
He put English on the ball.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
which you can't do.
He threw a curveball with a football.
Right. He really
did.
How
do you do that?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, I did it all the time.
Yeah,
I
sure
wasn't trying.
I know. That wasn't a curveball. That was called a dime.
See, but that, I'm telling you right now, if you remember those old Tommy Mansky baseball videos that we were, you know,
these are the
video that gets results, says Fred McGriff, right?
Fred McGriff at the end.
Right. Who never saw any of them.
But at the same time, if Patrick Mahomes goes, I'll show you how to throw the curveball. Hey, I'm Patrick Mahomes. Hey, I'm Josh Allen. With our patented system of curveballs around the defensive end, you too can be playing in your little league. That's exactly what coaches want too. Some young kid learning how to totally be like a gunslinger is like an 8-year-old. No technique, just throw around the old defensive ends and figure this thing out.
Well, I'm buying that video.
I know.
Four installments, monthly installments of $99.95. I'm in.
Do they accept?
I'll pay whatever.
Do they accept CODs? That's all I want to know. No CODs.
Does that still exist? Is that still a thing?
I don't know. I just used.
I'm
I was
still
a kid,
waiting
I was like,
for my Sports Illustrated football phone. It hasn't arrived.
Exactly right. Yeah. See, Jeremiah and I grew up in the same era of getting like these promises made to us over the if we ordered Sports Illustrated. My whole thing about Sports Illustrated was I had to beat my mom to the mailbox on that special weekend in February.
Yeah, everybody knows what you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness. Jeremiah, with the Jazz taking on the Suns tonight, last night was a tough loss. That must have taken a lot out of them. Obviously, with the injury report, Rudy Gobert out, Donovan's still out. Mike Conley, obviously, is not going to do that second game in the back-to-back. So what does a game like tonight look like? They're 11-point dogs in this one down there in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's like blood to sharks. I mean, the Suns are just going to destroy them. And it sucks because it's just kind of bad circumstances, right? I think earlier in the season, I looked at this week as the season developed. You know, even like a month ago, I was looking at this week and I was thinking, this is going to be incredible. Warriors, two games against the Suns, the Grizzlies, who were great. It's going to be a huge measuring stick on how the season goes. And to be honest, it's not that it can't be that now because the Warriors weren't even full strength last night. Jazz weren't. Jazz aren't going to be full strength all week. The Jazz are beat up. You know, the concussion thing with Donovan, they're coming out of COVID. It's just a weird time for the Jazz right now. And I mean, watch the game and try to enjoy it tonight for what it is. But the Jazz just don't have enough guys. And we saw them play really well for three quarters against the Raptors when they had a situation like this a few weeks ago. But tonight you're playing at Phoenix. The Suns are just tremendous. Best record in the league by far. And, you know, I think we already know the result, which is frustrating. But hopefully the Jazz can get healthy enough that they can give the Suns a real game on Wednesday. And maybe that's something that can help the Jazz get going here as they try to get healthy and get these guys back in the groove, because it's been a rough stretch and it's not going to get any easier this week.
I just feel like the Jazz are—it's almost like a perfect storm right now. You have COVID and you have injuries.
Yeah, but at what point do you go, no, now they're going to start getting going?
Well, I think once you get past kind of some of these injuries, I think that the because they've had some guys out, and you think back to a year ago at this time, the Jazz were Jazz best team in the NBA. I mean, they're kind of where Phoenix is right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And, and you wonder. I mean. Earlier in the season, when I say earlier, maybe a couple of weeks ago, you were kind of like, can anyone beat Golden State? Because they looked just like world beaters, and they've kind of come back to earth a little bit. So, you know, it's just the teams kind of go on these runs, and I just think there's a lot of good teams. And before it's all over, I think it's going to be really competitive. And I just feel like the Jazz are going to be in there at the end of this before it's all over.
Because their roster is going to look different. Here in about a month.
Well, let's hope. Yeah, let's hope there's some change that excites the fan base again. Because man, I'll tell
you, Ricky Rubio's coming back.
When you have a loss like you did the other night or last night, and then you already know. I mean, this is something we were talking about with Coach Chiesa. Because we kind of look at it and go, well, it's kind of a scheduled loss at this point. But that feels like garbage. Because that's just is something that the Jazz haven't had to. Because even last year when there were games where you're like, yeah, you're supposed to lose that one, there was no such thing last year, especially this time last year. They were just on a roll. They just found a way in these games to just be like, hey, yeah, even if there is no Mike Conley in that second game of the back-to-back, they could win it. So no such thing this year. Hopefully they can get back to that full strength and get something together. JJ, what's going on TV tonight? What can we see on SportsBeat?
Well, we'll hope for a Jazz miracle, and if it happens, we'll show you that tonight on the KSL 5 News at 10. Also, there is a rivalry game in-state in college basketball tonight. Southern Utah is hosting Weber State. So you may think, oh, is that a big deal? Why is it a big deal? Because one of those two teams is going to win the Big Sky and go to the in-state tournament, in my opinion. So keep an eye on those two teams. They're both very, very good and should be a great ball game tonight.
Jeremiah Jensen, KSL 5 Television. Thanks for hanging out, JJ. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
There you go. There you go. Jeremiah Jensen. Love having JJ on. Always fun. This portion of the program brought to you by, you ready for this? Couple of weeks away. Valentine's is just around the corner. Jimmy's Flowers can make it easy with the two dozen rose special for $49.99. Two dozen roses, $49.99. Or you can simply just get the elegant vase as well for $44.95. Order today, jimmysflowers.com, or they have stores right there in Bountiful, Layton, in Ogden, jimmysflowers.com. More to go. right around the corner. We got our NFL roundup. We're going to do a little bit earlier this week since we have the Jazz pregame coming up at the end of next hour, and we want to make sure that we just squeeze all that stuff in and sneeze all that stuff in. LHM Used Car Supermarket's going to bring you that. That's right around the corner. Stay with us.
The unrivaled NFL roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Well, it is 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. Yeah, you heard the NFL roundup music going on there. You're peeking out the window. What are you
I'm looking
on?
Out the window, Alex.
Yeah.
So I'm looking east. From the
southeasterly direction?
I'm in the southwest corner of Vivint Arena.
Southwesterly direction. Southeast is where we're looking.
Well, I'm going to call it pretty much east.
Yeah.
Because we're kind of angled here.
Sure.
John Stockton, his statue, I can see it from where I am.
Yeah.
And guess what? Guess what his statue looks like.
Oh, I can guess he's got an accessory on there.
He does. He has a mask.
Oh, yeah. Here we go, people.
Someone put a mask on John Stockton's statue.
Here we go, people.
Of all the people in the world that want to stay out of the spotlight,
he's been pretty clear,
very kind of. He's a very principled person. You know, he kind of stands. He kind of went against the grain as a player. Everyone joked about him where he saved every penny that he had in. I don't know. It's just a little bit surprising to me, I guess, that he was so outspoken about. Anyways, he's got a mask on outside the stadium
right
now.
Yeah. I mean, we knew his stance about it. So it's not a crazy thing to me that I don't want to go to a game at Gonzaga either, all right? I get where he's coming from. I want to hang out in the tunnel.
I would.
No, I know. Hey, NFL Roundup, as always, brought to you by LHM Used Car Supermarket. Over 1,000 used vehicles in inventory. Shop online at LHMUsedCars.com. Scott, did we watch Tom Brady's last game yesterday? I mean, after everything was said and done, first of all, there's not a person, of all the games that were lost yesterday that were heartbreaking. I mean, this whole weekend, every loss is a heartbreaking loss because it was last second. All these teams, both teams had a chance to win in every one of those games. The divisional round was amazing. But Tom Brady is visibly the most distraught when a loss like that happens. And I think that goes with the insane competitor part that he is. He's got to be – it's not just that he's a world-class athlete. He is the most insane competitor, I think, that we've seen in sports since Michael Jordan.
I don't think it's just the loss of the game. Like all of a sudden you have so it's over, right? Your season's over, and
it's because everybody's asking you about your future.
And it's emotional because they know that's the end of that season,
right.
So everyone starts looking forward. But you start to see Aaron Rodgers go, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. You see Sean Payton get to the end of the season and go, I don't know if I want to still do this anymore. Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, and it's not the loss of the game. It's the amount of energy and focus and effort that it takes to, get there. Like, the grind of an NFL season is just so physically and emotionally and mentally just draining. Like, it just takes so much. You see, that's what you see. That's what you see from, Josh Allen. So you go, okay, we've got to wind this thing up again and start all over. And they talk about how hard it is to repeat a championship. It's because everybody's gunning for you. Every week, you're playing a Super Bowl every single week against every opponent you have if you're the Super Bowl champion. And so it wears on you because you're so competitive. And I don't care what you say, it's hard to play at that level, that championship level, every single week of the season. Like it just wears you out. So you get to 45 or you get to Bruce Arians and you're in your 60s and you just go, man, I don't know that I want to put myself through this anymore. I've kind of reached the limit. You saw that with the Atlanta Falcons when they lost that Super Bowl and it literally just took all of the air out of an organization forever. for so long. And I don't know that they've recovered from it. So it's a hard thing to say, yeah, do I really want to go back and do this all over again? I don't know. I mean, with Tom Brady, I don't know that he can find enough motivation anymore. I mean, maybe he could get mad at the officials.
Give it a few months.
Maybe he could get mad at the officials, you know, and just say, hey, they called me for a personal foul in the game. I mean, maybe he uses that as motivation. Because what else is there? I mean, really, there's nothing left at this point.
Here's what Tom Brady had to say, very long-winded about what his future looks like.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so, you know, we'll just take it day by day and see where we're at.
There you go.
I think he said that because I don't think he thought he was going to lose this week.
No, I mean, that's why he hasn't put any thought
into it. He's like,
There's no space in the brain at that point except for anything but preparation.
I think his last year in New England, I actually think he thought about it before the season was over. I think he thought a lot about it. I think he said, I know this is going to be the end of it for me here. I think in Tampa, because there's nothing left for Tom Brady now. It's not like I'm going to go to another team.
My favorite part
about it's kind of like, am I just going to stay or am I going to be done?
My favorite part about all this is, what does Giselle have to say about what Tom Brady's going to do with his decision? It's like, she's going to say what any supportive partner is going to say. Look, I love Tom, and whatever he wants to do, we come on, man. He's a competitor. He's the best that's ever played his position.
Here's the challenge with that.
Got to do it.
If you go, look, I don't think you want to say anything. I think because you don't want to come back later on and go regret.
Right.
I wished I would have played another year and it's probably that thing. And I felt this and it would be the advice I gave anyone. I don't care what people say. Play as long as you have a desire to play. And I don't even care about how good your skills are, because that's what I always hear. Oh, you want to go out on top? I don't ever want to go out where my skills have diminished.
Almost nobody can do that.
But I'm just telling you, play as long as you can. Get it out of your system, regardless of the kind of success you have, regardless of whether you win or lose or whatever, because there's no going back when it's over. And I think that applies to really anything we do in life. Just get it out of your system. Give it everything you have. I mean, because, you know, our radio show, probably next year I'll be done. You know, so right now I'm giving it all I have.
I love this idea of, like, every once in a while Scott just drops a, you know, I don't know. Don't ask me about next year. I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. You know, I mean, right now I really enjoy doing the radio show.
I mean, if you listen to our five fans who hate us. They'd probably be glad maybe we'd be done this weekend. I don't know. Done with the show.
Oh. Scott, come on. I hate us too. All right?
I hate myself.
My self-esteem can't get any lower. Every person in this business has the lowest self-esteem that you could imagine. All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back.
Done with this? Oh.
No, we're not done. No, we got to come back. This segment, yeah, we're way past.
I was just getting started.
No, I know. You blew right past the break here. No. What am I going to do? Stop Scott Mitchell from telling everybody he's going to retire in a year? What was that about? That's new news to me.
I don't know that I can rewind it again after this loss.
All right.
Can't take it anymore.
We'll come back next hour. We've got our Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Week. You don't want to miss that. We'll come back. Talk a little bit about a lot of things still. So around the corner, still have some jazz to talk about. 2-minute drills around the corner. You don't want to miss any of it. It's all up on 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. What am I looking at here? We got lots going on still the rest of the show. In fact, we don't have enough. We just have too much. Mondays do this all the time. We just have too many things to talk about.
I have a public service announcement I need to make.
Go right ahead, my friend.
Do you want to, like, get into the cut? What would you like to do?
Let's get into the cut, because that's what we do at the top of every hour. Okay. Jump into the cut, and then Scott's got a PSA to throw at us. So let's do the cut. Let's jump in, as we always do, at the top of every hour.
The Unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
I think I should just read this.
I don't know what this is. This is, I love this, though. I don't know where you're going with this.
All right, well, here we go. All right. This is an important event information. Mm. Public sales to the game at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California.
Yeah.
Will be restricted.
What?
To residents of the greater Los Angeles region. Residency
will be
based on credit card billing address at checkout. Orders by residents outside of the greater Los Angeles region
will be murdered,
will be canceled
in their sleep.
Without notice, and of course, refunds are given. In other words, if you're a San Francisco 49ers fan,
stay home.
You ain't getting a ticket to this
game. But here's what's interesting. Then you're only going to have 31,000 people to show up.
No kidding. How sad is that? How sad is that you have to sell tickets to this game and restrict them for people from – it's like we don't care if there are 10 people show up as long as there are no 49ers fans.
Dude.
That would be the most humiliating thing in the world if you're going to play for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. You're in the NFC Championship game. And you're going to be outdrawn at home. You're going to be the road team at home. That's embarrassing. Come on, NFL. And come on, Los Angeles. This is ridiculous.
Amazing.
You got 21 million people that live in that area. Can't you find
80,000
50,000 fans? 50,000
well,
out of 21 million
that's
people.
Thing. That's the thing is that you could really – if you.
L.A. is so – I don't care. I the gloves are off. L.A. is so pompous. It's so over itself. It's so – and I get
–
it's also
trashy, right?
It's, you know, hard to drive around there. I mean, how fun was the Rose Bowl, but, you know, how hard is it if you really have to get anywhere? I get that. But, people, this is the NFC Championship game. Please show up. Please, please, please show up for this game.
You have to tell them to show up. You have to beg them. It's not even – you're not even asking people to buy tickets. You're asking the opposing fans to please not buy tickets because we know you guys will buy. And I'm telling you right now –
the worst part about it, it's not another team. It's kind of your rival team. I mean, this is a division rival.
You played them 2 weeks ago and they beat you.
And they beat you two times this year.
Yes.
Like, talk about owning someone. Talk about being in someone's head.
I know. Absolutely.
Wow.
I love it, though, because this whole thing, to me, that just – what's sad is that you're okay. No other stadium has to do this. I love that when you see the Chiefs –
Like, it's going to be sold out in 5 minutes and all your fans are going to gobble up all the tickets.
Well, not just that. If they don't gobble up all the tickets, it's still going to be 3-1, and you will see a smattering of 49ers fans. You should. Like, when you tuned in last night to the Bills and the Chiefs, obviously –
Josh Allen had about 29, 30 people in a suite.
That's right, he did.
Do you know how much money that would be?
Oh, is he? Does each one of those person? He doesn't get them in for free. No. So why are you looking at me like that? I just assume that the players got those guys in for free.
No, really.
At the opposing stadium.
At the opposing stadium, even at home.
That's bad. How much would that be?
A suite for a game, an NFL game.
Yeah.
I'll bet that's anywhere.
And it's a playoff game. $150,000?
It's six figures, easy.
Oh, wow. But bottom line was, I mean, seeing the crowd.
One suite ticket probably by itself is, I don't know, $1,200 maybe.
I like seeing the crowd last night.
Times 30 people.
25, yeah. I like looking in the crowd last night and seeing the periodic, you know, you see those Bills fans in there. But what you're not saying is, oh, wow, the Bills fans have taken over this place. No, because what happens is any normal home game in any other stadium in the world, maybe minus Jerry World, because people usually – they use that as like a tourist attraction. They go to that like a destination game. It is 3-1. And you're okay having some opposing fans in the stands, but to have to tell the other fans they're going to be restricted – that's hilarious.
Well, the NFL wants the Los Angeles market, right?
The Rams have just basically said, we don't have a very good fan base, so please.
And they have two teams in the area. They have two teams and they can't even muster a fan base.
Nobody likes them.
Like a fan base.
Nobody likes them.
I just, wow.
Scott, I want to bring this up. Oh, by the way, we got some stuff to give away. Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Weekend, brought to you by DJ and PK and by the Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers. If you heard that on DJ and PK this morning, give us a call. Be caller number 12, 855-340-ZONE. Boy, there are a lot of really, really good plays. So you got to get it right. You better figure it out. You could probably even venture a guess, and you might be close, but there were so many, you got to be careful with that. Caller number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE, 855-340-ZONE. You can tell us the play of the week that you heard on DJ and PK, and you can win yourself a nice prize. With impressive lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs, it's no wonder people are switching to Chevy. Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers, find new roads. Scott, out of the two quote unquote crappy games this weekend that happened, we got the Bengals out of it, which you called. That Bengals game was kind of, I mean, it ended with a final kick, but it was low scoring. There weren't a lot of touchdowns. Joe Burrow only threw zero touchdowns and one pick, but they end up winning the game. The 49ers win 10-13. That's for as close as that game is, and it was an upset. It still wasn't as amazing as those games you saw on Sunday. But you have the Rams who get past Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, and then you had the crown jewel of it all last night, which was the Bills and the Chiefs. So now you have Cincinnati going to the Chiefs, and now you have the 49ers going to the Rams. First blush, right off the bat, you may have had Chiefs-Rams at the beginning of the year. I can't remember. I think that you picked from the NFC the Rams going to the Super Bowl. This is your chance to tell me what you think is going to happen with this game this weekend. Cincinnati taking on the Chiefs, the 49ers of the Rams. Start with the AFC. What do you have? Cincinnati, I mean,
well, here's the thing.
They got nothing to lose playing with house money at this
point.
Yeah,
but Cincinnati has issues on the offensive line, and it'll get to them because Kansas City actually has a pretty good defense. And there were times when they got to Josh Allen actually up front, but Cincinnati they don't have the horses up front. They just don't. And they also, I know Joe Burrow is massively confident, but this is a different deal. This is to go to the Super Bowl, and he's probably a year away from it. You know, Cincinnati's going to be back there, I think, in years to come, and as long as, you know, when you have a great quarterback like that, and you got a shot. And so I just don't think it's going to be enough. I really don't. I really, the Chiefs are, you know, they're just really amazing. And they've gotten better from a year ago. You know, they had some of the issues on their offensive line. They certainly got better. They've gotten better defensively than they were a year ago. So I like the Chiefs, but I think Cincinnati will, I think they'll give them a game. I think they'll surprise people because I think everyone's just like, you know, it's a foredrawn conclusion, and it probably is, but Cincinnati will be competitive. They'll show up.
When you say competitive, like
they're not going to get blown out of the, you know,
I mean, I guess that's
blown out of the stadium.
Yeah. I guess that's the thing. That
maybe not. They could get blown out. What am I saying?
it's an insane thing to think that
it's happened before where teams go on the road, but to continue to go on the road week after week after week, it eventually comes back and gets you.
Yeah.
And Kansas City is just such a hard place to play. Probably the hardest place I think in the NFL to play.
Yeah, but after they do this though, where they play, you know, they have basically what seems like it would have been the hardest team for them to face in the offseason. It certainly shook out to be a game like that. Aren't you a little bit, I mean, they're wasted today. What is a week of preparation walking up to an AFC championship game, taking on a team that everybody's looking at and telling you, yeah, you should walk over this
team? Well, Andy Reid, they've been around long enough to know you don't take anyone lightly. They've been to the Super Bowl twice. And they know what it takes to get to the Super Bowl, and that it's respecting your opponent is certainly one of those things. Andy Reid's not going to take that lightly. Patrick Mahomes is not going to take that lightly. These guys are going to say, look, you know, you and they will. They'll get dialed in. But where you know, you have an emotional, a tough win, and really the overtime wasn't that big a deal. I mean, what was it, two or three plays and they kick a field goal? It wasn't like it was some – you know, oh boy, kind of deal. Or did they even kick the field? No, they did kick the field goal to win it.
Yeah.
Because there's so many scores there late, you get them confused. But being at home and winning an emotional game like that, that helps you. That not having to travel is a real thing, and the statistics show out. Teams that, you know, if you had a team like the Rams where they had to go all the way to Tampa, and then they had to come back, and then they had to go all the way to Green Bay again. If they would have won, well, they won, and if Green Bay would have won, I could have almost guaranteed you that the Rams would not beat Green Bay because of travel. But now that they're going back home, they're not going to be faced with that cross country travel fatigue.
Right.
I think any team, there's statistics where any team that does that 2 weeks in a row, they've never won that second game. That it's really, really hard to do that.
Do you like the? I mean, are you one of those people that goes, the NFL wants this matchup?
Which one is it? Well, just look at how they set everything up. So they go, we're going to have the garbage game, the first one, and then we're going to have Aaron Rodgers because he's more marquee. So we're going to have that later in the evening, and then we're going to have Tampa Bay and the Rams. That's pretty good. That's still Tom Brady. And then, of course, the headliner game was KC and Buffalo. So the NFL, they want the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills, and then in the AFC or the NFC, they're dying because they didn't get Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And they want one of those two.
Slam dunk for the LA team to be the one to get it.
No.
Why not?
No, because it's about the league is about players.
Well, the Super Bowl's been promoted SoFi this year, right?
Right, it's been promoted by that, and so you want the biggest names playing. I mean, it was awesome a year ago to have Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady playing in a Super Bowl, and this year it's going to be Patrick Mahomes, and you really hope that it's Matthew Stafford. You really do. I think that would be an amazing matchup to have the Rams, and to have the Kansas City Chiefs, and they probably should be there.
I mean, I do feel like that's the one that people just kind of want. They want to see that.
Oh yeah,
Stafford, an LA team, and you know Ryan Seacrest is their head coach, and good for them. And then the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and everything that comes with that.
When you have a meltdown like the Rams had, and really it was every possible guy that could screw up that you wouldn't expect to screw up did. Where you go, you're in your 2 minute off, your 4 minute slow down offense, and there's two rules. There's two rules in that offense. It's not about getting first downs, it's about protecting the football. So Akers, his big mistake was he's in traffic, it's iffy and dicey, and he's fighting for extra yards. And it's like, no, you don't fight for extra yards in that situation. You get your butt down on the ground. Turnovers and stopping the clock, that's what kills you in that situation. That's it. End of discussion. There's no more. And so when the Rams just start that, and then you have Jalen Ramsey, who's arguably one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, and you're locked into the best wide receiver on the other team, and you let him score a touchdown. Eric Weddle getting a personal foul. Every possible thing that could happen and having a breakdown with the Rams was happening. They were melting down. The pressure of everything was getting to them, and to overcome all of that in a game and still be alive, it's almost like, whew, you talk about getting the monkey off your back. They did that in massive fashion, and it almost frees you to just go up and just, and now it's like, okay, we're free. We got a second chance. We got new blood, and they recognize that you can't play tight. You can't play not to lose that mindset. You just got to let it go. And a lot of times, it just frees you up, and you just go play, and you don't care anymore. And I could see that happening with the Rams.
I'm one of those guys that wants to see the Rams. I don't want to see the 49ers. 49ers to me, that doesn't seem like a. I want to see it be a back-and-forth offensive battle, and I think the best way you're going to get that is with the Rams and the Chiefs. I mean, Joe Burrow could maybe do it, but again. No.
The Bengals, they have holes. They really do. They have holes in their team. They're just not quite ready. Not quite ready for that Super Bowl just yet.
All right. Okay. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. We've got a lot to go still. We've got our 2-minute drill. We've got to talk some Utah Jazz. We've got our just got all sorts of things around the corner here. Scott, I love the passion today, buddy.
Bringing it.
I love you, like, ignoring me while I'm saying that. You're like, yeah, I'm watching the basketball game up on the screen. Thanks a lot, Scott.
I said I'm bringing
this relationship.
It. Oh my god!
I need to have eye contact. You don't love me anymore, do you? Are you doing a podcast behind my back? How dare you?
Yeah, well, once a week.
Yeah, why not? Okay, we'll take a break.
Isn't that what everyone does? Is a podcast?
Everybody's got to do one. Hey,
it's helmets off. You should tune in and listen.
Yeah,
been doing it for years.
Is that a cooking thing or what is it?
Helmets off. How is that related to cooking?
I'm just kidding. All right, we'll take the break. We'll come back. We've got more to go. Oh, Tim Lacombe's already out in the seating area. You know what that means? He and Jake Scott are going to be doing some Jazz pregame coming up. They're down in Phoenix. They're going to be taking on the Suns tonight. Tip-off is going to be at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock right here on the Utah Jazz Radio Network. So stay right here with us, 97.5 1280 The Zone.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Tim Lacombe just jumped in the studio for our band of the day. Thomas Rhett coming to USANA Amphitheater on August 11th of this year.
That's kind of like some hip-hop country.
Yeah.
It's alternative country is what it is.
Alt country?
There you go.
No, alt country is a little bit more...
down from the southern part of Utah County are so
now.
Smart.
this is what they do
I just always
now.
Wish I'd love in this.
You got to kind of half-rap your country song now. Talk about Applebee's. Talk about Billabong bikinis. That's how you get people going. So special guest Parker McCollum going to be there with Connor Smith as well. It's Thomas Rhett coming to USANA Amphitheater. Go to LiveNation.com for more information. Tickets go on sale this Friday. So there you go.
The big one that was released today, you guys know that. I love music.
You are a music hound, yes.
Sammy Hagar, the Red Rocker.
What? Yes, I saw that, yes.
In August, be there or be square.
That's one Tim Lacombe won't miss, right?
You know what's so cool about that group is Jason Bonham, the son of John Bonham, Led Zeppelin.
That's right.
Drummer. He plays the drums for Sammy. And then they have Michael Anthony, who is the longtime Van Halen bassist that plays with Sammy. So you get really kind of like a melding of some Zeppelin covers and Van Halen stuff.
It's
plus
some power
Sammy
families
stuff.
That
it's
are combining for so. But Sammy Hagar coming, did you say that this summer?
Yeah, August 30th,
here.
I think, at USANA.
At USANA. Yeah. I thought for some reason, I saw a billboard on some website I was on today, and I thought, Sammy Hagar's coming to town.
I'd take that more serious than the stock report.
No, I was going to say.
Why are you guys talking about all this and looking at me?
Because I'm waiting for you to jump in.
I know. It's like, what am I going to say? You can't sing it, say
did
it.
Did you say the Scorpions are coming? Yeah,
who's
I'll
your
be
favorite
there.
Band?
My favorite band?
All time.
Of like all time?
Yeah. Yeah. Like who do you listen to?
Oh, I have a weird like
we know
music kind of
surprises
palette.
Me.
He's you know why? Because a lot of his life was taken up. Like,
Enya.
That's your favorite band.
Is that a
band.
Surprise?
No. Are you being serious?
But I love that.
Enya.
I like Enya on just to chill, but like,
why
not lifting weights.
Why
do
you slap
Enya?
Your. Yeah, I love. I used to listen.
He just walked out. Why did he walk out?
I know.
Because that's
wants
like,
me to react. Look, what? Here's how. When I was playing professional football and where I would listen to music was driving. And. I was always keyed up.
So
right?
You wanted to wind down.
I needed to be kind of mellow. I did not need music to get me excited or get me fired up. It was the last thing in the world. Like I could
had
not
all those substances. Yeah,
but you're a child of the '80s. Like you listen to rock and roll growing
he
up.
He was a big hair band.
Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
That's
and I love them too.
He was a big hair.
But
band
I also
guy,
liked Yaz.
I love
I liked
Yaz.
Howard,
upstairs
Howard,
at Eric's.
Upstairs at Eric's. That's a classic album. Yeah. I could. Let's. Here's the thing. This is West Home. Walking through the door.
Turn the sound. Put this on the floor.
Hey, it was
so good, dog. That's good stuff, right?
Oh,
there.
My. Oh my goodness.
See, I told you I'm the derailer.
Oh,
I guess no, we got news.
My first concert
have...
ever was Depeche Mode, so kind of in that same vein, Erasure, Yaz.
You know who my first concert was? Howard Jones.
Me too.
Park Meadows.
Dude, I was at the same one.
Had to have been.
That was my first one.
Yeah. Loved
Dude.
It.
It was raining.
This is a thing.
And he's doing all this.
Yeah, he totally.
It was so cool. His first concert was
in the same venue at the same place watching the same person.
Almost got canceled.
Wow.
It was like delayed. Yeah.
That's
I forgot. I forgot all about
I'm
this.
I'm telling
this
you, awesome. Bro. Yeah, I was
Loved
with,
Howard
I was
Jones.
There too.
Yeah, cue up that Yaz. We're going to need that as a bumper on the way out.
Things can only get better.
Yes.
And Tim, so some breaking Jazz news here.
So
breaking. Yeah.
You said it right before we came in here because we were asking about the injury report. And I said, what about these guys? And as soon as we say it, of course, we got the injury report. What do we have as officials?
So
out
it's not that big a deal, really. It's just so out tonight. I mean, don't overreact. Donovan Mitchell's out.
We knew that. Yeah, come on.
No Rudy Gobert's out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we knew that. Strained left calf, yeah.
Mike Conley.
Yeah, that's second half of back-to-back. Yeah.
But let's add to that. No. And I think these guys are probably important.
We had some questionables. So
Royce O'Neal.
Sounds like a Tom
So Royce is now out.
Yes.
Tendonitis.
So that would be four really? Starters.
Royce is kind of one you don't ever see out, but okay.
Okay, yeah,
Royce
is out
with tendonitis. Joe Ingles is out with a right ankle sprain.
Wow. No
and jingle. I guess just for the power six, if you will.
Ouch.
Bojan Bogdanovic is out.
Bogey's out with the finger?
With the left finger avulsion fracture.
So what's the starting lineup look like then?
So I think it's Alex.
And can you really call him a starting
Alex
lineup?
Alex Carey.
Are we going to be – listen, we're all out tonight with the finger, by the way, on this game.
I'd like to give the Jazz the finger.
Four.
Like,
so what is it?
What's the starting
five? By way of Plano, Texas.
Yeah.
Tim Lacko.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, he did some time in Plano, Texas, too.
Yeah, I lived in Plano.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, Frito-Lay's out of
my
Plano.
My aunt lives in Richardson.
See, we used to play Richardson Berkner. Do you guys used to play those guys?
Played Berkner.
Yeah.
So
green,
who's
the green? They're green.
They're the Rams. Yeah, that's right.
Who is the starting lineup then?
Hassan's their center.
Okay. Hassan's going to be the center.
Who's the point guard?
Butler.
Is it Forrest?
No,
Forrest?
It's Trent Forrest.
Trent Forrest.
Who's your two? Eric Paschal, probably?
Paschal will probably play more like the three.
Okay.
Rudy Gay's still available.
Okay, so he's probably your four.
Four.
And Jordan Clarkson.
And Clarkson.
But do they start Jordan on
Maybe they'll start
like
Butler and bring Clarkson off the bench. Who knows? But the bottom line is the pickings are slim.
So if you took the money earlier today, you might be in a good spot because the Jazz were double-digit figure underdogs going into this one.
Yeah, they're 11-point underdogs.
And it just got worse.
Did they just take a game like that off, don't they? At some point,
I think. But that's the thing is, for me, it's tough because we asked Gordy Chiesa that same
thing.
Who
takes it off? Vegas?
Like Vegas.
Oh.
No.
They just try to adjust.
Yeah, but I mean, like, for the players, not for the players, you don't have to tell the players to be up for a game like this.
I mean, not that I
know
anything about gambling.
No. It's for entertainment purposes only.
We know that the NFL encourages gambling and drinking.
Hey, listen.
And quarterbacks. Those three things.
Steve Mariucci told me. My son goes, who is this guy, Mariucci?
I love that guy.
Who comes on and starts talking about gambling. I go, he used to be a coach, a GM. He used to do all this stuff.
He
so,
passed on Tom Brady.
I said, it's the guy.
That's the guy.
His name is the Mooch. So obviously he's the guy who they're going to have talk about gambling. So in the end, though, these guys want to win this game who are coming in. The Suns are going to be without a handful of guys,
They're without Crowder. And Payne, you know, those two guys are really...
Ayton was listed as questionable.
Ayton is out.
So he's out.
Yeah.
Well, so they're going to have
So it's basically Booker and Paul.
Yeah. But
versus Clarkson and...
Forrest.
And
Rudy Gay. And a little bit of Paschal.
Maybe
Paschal
just play two-on-two.
Those 21...
You can sub in, and that way the bench, you'll have plenty
of
guys.
So there you go. I'm going to try to list it off as the breaking news just hit us with all of the outs. So Donovan Mitchell out, Rudy Gobert out, Joe Ingles out, Bojan Bogdanovic out, Mike Conley out. Did I get everybody? Yeah. Royce O'Neal out. There you go. So there's the starting five is not playing tonight. So you're going to go straight to – plus Joe Ingles not playing.
Doak will be available.
Oh, yeah. You got a second-line center that could come in. So there you go. So that's bad news for Jazz fans if you're waiting on this one. But Wednesday,
everyone will be back.
Man, it's going to be great over here at the Viv.
All right, I got a question for you. This is my question. So the Jazz, it's like, got to do better on their perimeter defense. They got to play better on their defense. They got to.
Scott's so overhearing that.
And
stuff
they're
now.
Well, no. And so my question is this. And so, you know, they're rated as, you know, they've been one of the top offensive teams in the NBA. Is it possible for this Jazz team to actually play at both ends? And I think of some great players, like, you know, like you think of Michael Jordan, who is a great two-way player, and some of these great. Can the Jazz do that? Are they capable of that, or are they just, they're either one or the other?
Because
that's what it felt like last night. It's like, man, they played really great on defense.
But couldn't make a shot.
They just couldn't make a shot when it mattered.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, you bring up a great point. I mean, I think they're capable of it. I think, you know, and I'm always really quick to not indict effort. I don't think it's effort per se, as much as it's more just finely tuned in to what's going on in the game plan. You know, I think, you know, from your experience, there were guys that just went out and played. They slept through the scouting report, and they just went and did their thing.
They put their sunglasses on, actually, in the meeting.
Exactly.
Not lying about that. It really happened.
I caught guys, you know, because we in college basketball, you do the film study. You're up in front of the room.
Right.
And number of times saw guys not off. And it just depended how good they were to me if I ratted them out or not.
The laser pointer was powerful.
It was powerful.
In those meetings.
Yeah. So, no, but I think, honestly, that I think they can do it. You know, the one benefit they have is they have the best defensive player in the world as kind of the centerpiece of their defense. And so it really does allow guys to maybe not always be as locked in as they need to be. But the guys talk about it all the time. Like, part of that is being 100% on things you can be 100% on, like communication. You know, so many times this team, you know, that when they're switching stuff, you know, that's just so vital for those guys to talk. So doing the little things, I really think, will make the bigger things better. But I really liked what I saw last night. It was unfortunate, though, that it was coupled with a really tough offensive
performance. Let me ask you this, because the fans are, at this point, I wouldn't say despondent, but it's like, it's been rough days. This has been a rough go the last month, you know?
Well, we haven't felt, you know, like we haven't gone 3-7 in 10 games for as long as I can remember.
And so with that, there's the part where, a night like tonight when everybody's out, and then, you know, you're trying to go, yeah, no, but the next game, everything's going to come back around. Like, how, what's an explanation to, like, the fans as to where the team is right now, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, they were the last team in the league to go through COVID. So the Jazz were kind of, during when things were going pretty well, they were running through a bunch of teams like they are right now. You know, they were teams that missing guys, but the Jazz were able to play really well in those games. And now it's kind of not just COVID, but now the injury bugs hit a little bit. So I really do believe, and I know you guys probably get sick of me saying it, but it is the way I look at it. This is a journey. The season every year is a journey. And last year we took it from a totally different vantage point. We were number one nearly the entire season, you know, flying high above the clouds. The playoffs come, and you know, unfortunately, we did get through a round, but then we ran into a brick wall in the Clippers.
I'm so sick of you saying that, dude. Have I told you that yet? I'm just kidding. You said that. You guys are probably sick of me saying it.
But I know.
Stop saying the season's a journey.
But a year ago,
it's the
worst
road trip ever.
The Jazz are up 2-0 on the Clippers, you know, and then you know, so they, you know, they'd had quite a, you know, good run at it, and you know, the question is, you know, was, you know, the injury to Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell a year ago, you know, what would it have looked like had they been healthy?
I think it'd been totally different.
So I, you know, so you have to feel like the Jazz have the potential if everything's going right. You know, and we're assuming from last year and what we saw that they could compete in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, I would think you have to believe that this team could potentially do that this year.
Yeah, and I think there's, you know, the crazy part, there's so much left to go. The indicators that would say that they could be better than they were last year, and that's to get to the Western Conference Finals, I think they're more versatile. You know, I think if somebody like the Clippers puts five guys out there and, you know, Rudy Gay has to play the five or Eric Paschal has to play five, they're getting a ton of experience doing that during the year. So it won't be – it'll be something they actually feel comfortable with as opposed to something they had to kind of react to. And so I think the team, you know, has – they played really well at times. I think this is more of an outlier, and I think you guys would agree. I mean, Rudy and Donovan just don't miss games.
Yeah.
And to have those guys out multiple games over a stretch, You know, they're your best players, so you're certainly going
to
struggle.
Well, and I think everybody's anticipating this stretch to be tough anyway. I mean, these games are hard games. These are the best teams
we've
got in the Western
Phoenix
Conference.
Phoenix today, Phoenix Wednesday,
Memphis on Friday.
And then Minnesota right after that. Yeah. So these teams are all – I told Jake the word for all these guys is you know, it's a scrappy group of teams you're playing, and the Warriors, the Suns. I mean, you have to have your best.
Real quick before we get out, before we get to and you're gonna get the roast beef breakdown. You're gonna get the roast Radames.
20-2 now.
20-2, not bad.
It's yeah.
It's respectable.
I mean, you
you're in first in the West right now for your roast Radames.
Number one. Roasty would be first place.
Your roasty predictions. You'll get those coming up here at 6 o'clock. But real quick, the Bucks. This whole thing with Grayson Allen, his suspension. And the Bucks come out and say, no, he shouldn't have been suspended. It's kind of a weird thing because I think everybody watches the video and we tend to go, well, I mean, Grayson was here for a minute and we kind of liked the guy when he was here. I think he minded his P's and Q's, but he still has a reputation now that is this doesn't help it. But why would the Bucks come out and keep going, oh, yeah, no, he doesn't need to be suspended? Is it just because you don't want to lose a guy? And your knee-jerk reaction is to say we just to stand up for your guy who just got suspended?
That'd be my guess, yeah. I don't think what he did is defensible, particularly if it was one-off, maybe. But, I mean, you've got seven instances from college all the way through of just dirty plays that don't really belong out there.
And the guy's out for the rest of the season now, so you can't
exactly.
Go.
It's just it's tough. So I don't think it's enough. I think one game was way
that's
too
why it
light.
It seemed wild to me that the Bucks were like, I can't believe you suspended him for a game. It's like, just take your lumps and move on, man.
Yeah.
Tim Lacombe, the coach, and Jake Scott are going to have the breakdown. Jazz pregame coming up in just about 15 minutes. Thanks for hanging out, Coach.
Always a pleasure.
Doesn't Tim look like Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
He walks in every day, and I just feel like Aaron Rodgers.
I'd buy insurance from Tim.
Yeah.
I give you guys a really good rate.
A really good rate.
Do you wear the khakis, though? That's what I want.
Oh.
I'll wear khakis to a business meeting if I need to. That's about as dressed up as I get.
But at the same time, I feel like if Tim walked in with khakis on, I'd go, something's off. The deal's off. Something's off. Lacombe's in here with khakis.
He's way too serious.
we'll take the break here. We appreciate it, Coach. We'll come back. More to go right here. 2-minute drill around the corner. Stay with us. It's 97.5 till Lady the Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 the Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Okay, welcome back. It's 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Final segment for us this evening is Jake Scott and Tim Lacombe going to be taking over the airwaves here on your Utah Jazz pregame show on the Jazz Radio Network. And Locke will have the call with Booner for the Jazz taking on the Phoenix Suns. 7 o'clock is the tip-off. Everybody's out. That's all you needed to know about the game. Everybody's out.
It's the backups to the backups that are actually starting for the Jazz.
Here's the thing, we saw like a couple of thin lineups. This is the thinnest we've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's up.
Yeah. It's a thin red line is what this is.
No Rudy, no Donovan, no Joe, no Mike Conley, no Boyan, no Royce O'Neal.
I want to get on a sailboat and just sail around the world.
I think there have been songs have been sung about this. Very topical.
A lot of them, but you know how much money those folks make? They make for just going and...
Oh, you mean...
They go, I'm going to live on a sailboat.
As YouTubers you're talking about?
As YouTubers.
Okay, yeah, that's different.
This guy and his wife, and they've had two children now, and their kids are with them on the boat. Yeah. They go everywhere, all around the world. They make almost $4 million
a year. My wife follows a family that's like, same thing. They live in Hawaii full time.
Here's the crazy... Have you ever heard of this Patreon thing?
Yes.
People pay them money... So they can watch their videos. It's basically your home videos are being.
It sounds like you're making Scott. It sounds like you're making a pitch about an idea that's been around since 2013.
No,
Have you heard of this Patreon?
No, I'm just like, this is insane. Where have I been?
Not getting 10 million subscribers on YouTube.
No,
that's where your first mistake happened. Jeez, man, let's get those subscribers going on YouTube. What do? Can we break something every day here in the studio? Just break something. We'll come up with something cliche. Or we'll come up with something with a niche, following.
I know what we need to do.
What?
We need to make a prediction. And if if we lose in the prediction.
Yeah.
Like, I would have last week said, I guarantee you that the Green Bay Packers are going to win this week. Like, if everything that was going to happen, they didn't.
Yeah.
And if they lose, then there's something I have
there's
to do.
There's like some...
And I think it should be related to eating.
Okay. Or not eating.
Yeah.
You won't eat for a week after.
Oh, that would be
awful. We start
awful.
To punish ourselves.
That would be the really worst bad. Thing in the world.
No, it's got to be like some Johnny Knoxville stuff where you, like, you get hit in the crotch with a the mallet of some sort. Tim Lacombe comes in and shaves your head.
One of, no. Not one. Not your head. Just like one of your eyebrows. just shaves one of them off.
Oh.
Anyways, that's. I think we should do that.
The things that Scott will do for the subscribers.
Yeah.
2-minute drill is your retirement bulletproof. Investments, income, taxes, health care, all these things, including estate planning, crucial. Avoid expensive mistakes and get a complimentary ascent plan from Teton Wealth Group. Go to retireteton.com/radio. retireteton.com/radio. Scott, the 76ers said they're likely going to wait till the end of the season to trade Ben Simmons. Likely looking for a James Harden deal.
They are just making him pay. That's what you get for being a bad citizen. Teammate.
But if they tell you that, and then you're thinking about going to another team, it's in your best interest to at least look like on the surface like you're a good dude.
Right.
So do you think the next 6 months turn into him being like a good dude? No. Okay.
No, he's going to be what he is.
The best defender in the NBA. Is that what you're talking about?
two-time rookie of the year. Ben Simmons.
Well, listen, that's good. We got to get out. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Tim Lacombe, Jake Scott coming in. Pregame next right here. Jazz tip-off at 7 o'clock. We'll be back again tomorrow. More to go. 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.